marrying our existing expertise in decarbonization and infrastructure, it's a perfect partnership.
I completely agree with Larry. This is going to be the golden age of infrastructure investing, both in terms of the need for capital as well as investors who want that capital, okay?
In a move that's raising alarms across the nation, BlackRock, through its 2024 acquisition of Global Infrastructure Partners, or GIP, has surged into direct ownership of U.S. energy infrastructure.
BlackRock, one of the largest asset managers on earth, which owns just about everything, appears to be quietly buying up huge pieces of the U.S. energy grid. But don't worry, they say it's all about building infrastructure for artificial intelligence, so don't worry about it. Nothing to see here.
Shifting from passive investor to hands-on controller of critical utilities and grids.
The company BlackRock that's f***ing everybody in America, they're going to be buying utility companies now. That's right, utility companies. They've already purchased an electric company up in Minnesota. You. They have plans to invest hundreds of billions of dollars into the utility market here in the United States so you can watch your electricity and gas bills go up to nosebleed levels.
The Minnesota Public Utilities Commission approved a $6.2 billion takeover of Elite, parent of Minnesota Power, by a BlackRock-led consortium with Canada Pension Plan in October of 2025, granting private equity majority control over power serving 150,000 customers.
This $6.2 billion deal follows months of debate and pushback from groups across Minnesota.
It is not always going to be in the financial best interest of BlackRock to keep our rates as low as possible. That's not the business that they're in. They're in the business of making profit from as many things as possible.
I'm a Minnesota Power customer. So if you have read stories over the years about beloved brands like Joann's or Red Lobster being driven into the ground by private equity, now imagine if that was your utility, because that's where private equity sector is going, as they have extracted all of the value out of the retail and service sector that they can. They are increasingly turning their attention to infrastructure and the things that make up the material basis of our lives.
Meanwhile, GIP is in advanced talks for a potential $38 billion acquisition of AES Corporation, which is a major player with renewable assets nationwide.
Barry's team drafts the game plan for restructuring portfolios, valuing toxic assets, and bailing out collapsing banks. Larry Fink had turned the greatest financial disaster of a generation into his greatest triumph. While American finance takes years to rebound, he emerges with friends in high places, more money than ever, and what he's always wanted, the influence of a president, a company like a world power, without a single campaign nor a single vote, true power. And while no one was taking notice, he has created a playing field where, no matter what, BlackRock always wins.
Thousands of miles of overhead pylons will be erected to connect offshore wind farms, solar farms, data sheds, and millions of cars and other renewable sources to that national grid.
In Texas, BlackRock's footprint grows via GIP-owned firms like Eolian, developing massive battery storage projects such as the Padua Complex near San Antonio to stabilize ERCOT amid retiring fossil plants and exploding AI-driven demand.
Blackstone is currently in the process of purchasing the Texas-New Mexico grid. BlackRock actually started under Blackstone, and while they still claim that they're separate now, if you look at their yearly reports and their quarterly reports, they still push the ESG narrative. The Texas Attorney General here has a lawsuit against BlackRock for that very reason, where they were manipulating the grids and pushing solar and wind technology and offsetting coal and oil and gas because of them pushing this ESG narrative.
Consumer advocates and experts warn of profit-driven models loading debt onto the utilities, slashing accountability, and hiking residential bills to subsidize big tech clients, eroding public oversight of essential infrastructure serving millions, and private equity prioritizes returns over resilience. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds, we are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesshow.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams, that's a daily serving per gummy, huge container of them, such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and it reorders every month and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning. Welcome to The American Journal. We're excited you're all joining us today. A lot going on over here to catch you up on. It was a busy night. Many of you guys probably saw the updates were pouring in yesterday, so we'll be bringing that to you throughout today's show. But folks, today's a big day. Today's a big day. Today is the Epstein file drop. The DOJ is expected to push out those documents today. That is their deadline that was set by Congress. The Deputy AG, Todd Blanche, just spoke moments ago. We'll get you that clip in a bit in regards to just that. But there's a lot going on over here. We're excited that you're jumping on board with us today. Again, this has been long overdue at this point. Long overdue. Now, don't get too excited. I won't sell you a dream. I will tell you that it's very likely that these will be heavily redacted because that's the name of the game. The name of the game is to mislead the American people. They've done this before. We're not going to pretend like they're not capable of doing it again, but we're going to keep our eye on this. And it just so happens that today's a Friday, so I guess everything that drops on a Friday, I always say, is supposed to intentionally just be a distraction. Because they, what they know is this, right? They know that most of the time, they could drop these maybe at like 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. Most of you guys go home. You spend time with your families right before the holidays. Just so happens to be that you're not really paying attention. You're distracted. In the news world, we actually used to call this just a media dump. You want to burn something that doesn't catch the mainstream media's attention. You drop it 5 p.m. Eastern time on a Friday. But according to Todd Blanche, there's going to be thousands of documents released today, and it's all different types of documents. Images, I'm assuming, as well. We'll play that clip for you in a bit, but we're expecting that any hour now. We'll keep you up to date, of course, when that does drop. It'll be very extensive and very lengthy to read through, of course. But let's catch you up on what's going on over the White House. Hey, the president is expected to make an announcement at 1 p.m. Eastern time today from the Roosevelt Room. We'll be keeping our eye on that. President Trump is also participating in the Christmas reception at 5:45 p.m. Eastern today. And then later today, President Trump will be heading over to North Carolina, it looks like, because he's expected to deliver remarks on the economy at 9 p.m. Eastern today. So a lot going on for him. We're almost there, though. We're almost at the holiday point. I know many of you guys at home right now are very excited about Christmas. I know I am. It's kind of crazy. Time really flew by. It truly, truly did. And to see everything happening at the White House, it's incredible, right? Because I remember seeing all of the stuff trickling over the summertime, and I was like, oh, I can't even think about Christmas right now. There's so much going on. And here we are. And here we are. All right, yesterday you may have seen it, but there was an update regarding the Brown and MIT shooting. As many of you guys know, an MIT professor, scientist, was murdered shortly after the Brown shooting. Now, it looks like, we're going to dig into this a bit, it looks like the individual who is responsible for those shootings is now deceased, is now deceased. Now, the reason why I'm announcing both of these shootings at once is because you'll hear it in clip 11. Law enforcement late last night announced that they are actually connecting both of those shootings, and they believe that the same individual who carried out this horrific crime was behind both of these fatal shootings. Take a listen to clip 11.
The car that he had used to not only drive to Rhode Island, but then back to Boston. And then there was the security footage that captured him within a half mile of the professor's residence in Brookline. And there is a video footage of him entering an apartment building in the location of the professor's apartment. And then later that evening, he is seen about an hour later entering the storage unit wearing the same clothes that he had been seen wearing right after the murder.
So you have an extensive video canvas as part of this investigation. That leaves you no doubt.
This is the evidence we have right now. We are coming to you tonight because the federal complaint was unsealed, and we wanted to provide you with the information and to assure the public that law enforcement collectively believe that we have the person, that we identified the person, and that person is dead, and that he was the person responsible not only for the Brown shootings, but for the Brookline shooting.
All right, so as you heard there, they believe the shooter is officially dead. Now, this individual is not an American citizen. Important to note that. Apparently, he died by suicide. That's what they're claiming, of course. Claudio Valentin is his name. And folks, when we go through the details, let's do just that. The information pouring out is quite interesting. You know, the FBI announced yesterday that the suspect was someone who is not, again, from here. He's from Portugal. And we'll get into his citizenship in just a bit because, of course, he was one of those many who were brought into this country. They called it a lottery. Well, not really a lottery when you look at the kind of quality of people brought into this country. And they're saying motive is unclear, but this was the FBI update yesterday as everything went down. Take a listen to clip one.
Yes, it is true that Mr. Valente was a physics student. Also, we know that the MIT, the victim there, was in that discipline as well. I will tell you that there's multiple phases to an investigation. And so now, in a sense that we know the subject is deceased, now that investigation continues to find out all of those answers to your question, sir.
Did you go to school with the professor? Did you go to school with the professor who was killed? Can Brown answer that?
It is believed that in Lisbon that those two individuals attended the same university in Portugal.
And for the
So obviously this is personal. This is personal. And I wanted to jump into this too because, you know, Jack Posobiec actually yesterday, we'll play clip three for you, we'll bounce around a bit. Because Jack Posobiec yesterday did announce that according to his sources that the shooter did in fact go up to Ella Cook. Now Ella Cook is one of the victims over in that horrific shooting in Brown University, at Brown University. And he's reporting that Ella was shot multiple times in the head by the shooter, and that she was the initial target. Take a quick listen to how Jack Posobiec detailed his sources and what they're telling him.
The information I received does come from an extremely well-placed source, very high-level source, and someone who has a, let's just say, familial connection to one of the people that have been involved in this case. And the information that we've received, story that's come out of there, is that this was in fact targeted, that the assailant came in and fired multiple rounds directly at Ella Cook, and that the story that is coming up, that's being told at least by students on campus and people who are directly involved in this, is that seemed like she was the main target and everyone else was incidental. Now again,
it seems, hang on, but also this person, the familial issue, is someone that was wounded, not killed, but was wounded in the shooting. And this is what they referred, they told, this is what their story is about what happened there, correct?
This is the story from in the room. Yes, and from, this is what we're hearing from someone who was, like I said, directly involved in the situation.
And it was no doubt in their mind that Ella Cook was targeted and was actually the reason it looked like this thing took place, or was the focus of attention by the assailant, correct?
That was the very question I asked. I said, did it seem that Ella was the target? They said, yes, Ella was the target. Everyone else was incidental to being in the room. And that I did also ask regarding, was there any familiarity? Did someone recognize the assailant? They said, no. And I said, what about these comments about a statement that was made or a a phrase that was shouted, and it was unclear.
And as you guys can see there, it is very, very concerning as to those updates, because we were not aware there was really a target. They kept telling us there was no way that there was a target in any of this, that she wasn't targeted. They thought this was random. Again, we don't know what was yelled out. We'll get into that in a little bit, but it's important to note that according to authorities, they believe that this case was pretty much busted wide open after, well, a homeless person came forward. Interesting enough, a homeless hero was credited, according to New York Post, with cracking the shooting at the Brown University MIT wide open after he confronted the gunman. As the feds say, he is now entitled to the staggering $50,000 reward. The tipster, known as John, was key to police eventually IDing Claudia, who is the shooter, as the suspect after he offered up a key information on the 48-year-old perp, his car specifically following an encounter, not a counter, with him on the road. Or on the day of the shooting. So again, very important that we talk about just that. Folks, it wasn't the cameras. And they keep saying that they had cameras. Can't show you any footage, though. They didn't show us any footage. Only used neighborhood footage. Only used neighborhood footage. I want to play this, too, because I thought this was interesting. Again, we keep asking these questions. We've asked here over at InfoWars, what was screamed out by the shooter prior to opening fire? And if Ella was the target, what did he say to her? Because obviously this is something that's personal. Take a listen to clip two as to how the Rhode Island AG responded in regards to what was yelled out in that classroom before he opened fire.
And so that's why he followed him out. In terms of what was said, I don't know any more today than what I told you yesterday, or the day before. There are some witnesses who said he said nothing. There are some that say he made a barking noise. Don't ask me. I don't know why. And that's it. There is no other spoken word beyond that that we are aware of, as we stand before you tonight. And we have spoken to everybody that we have been able to locate who's been inside that building.
And just to the...
Again and again and again, we keep hearing this. They won't tell us what was said. There's no way they didn't know what he said. There's absolutely no way. There's absolutely no way. And so many people in that classroom, we haven't yet heard from any witnesses. It's quite strange. It's quite strange. We only have what police have given us. And that's not much. And that's not much. So what's going on here? How come we haven't even had one single individual from that classroom come forward and speak to the media? Is someone telling them not to speak to the media? Because, I mean, it's 2025. It's so easy to have your side of a story heard. Post on social media. You talk to a local news outlet. The desire to have these people on a cable news show is extremely high right now. And for some reason, all of those people in the classroom are unable to come out and speak. It doesn't make sense, folks. None of this makes sense. Time and time again, in the aftermath of all of this, while they were searching for the shooter, they told us they didn't have any real footage from on the campus. They were showing us neighborhood footage, ring doorbell footage. It was crappy. You couldn't see the person's face. And this was the best they had. It's really hard for me to wrap my mind around all of this and think this is just a personal situation here. This person knew exactly what he was doing. Exactly what he was doing. And the Brown University president, I mean, you might as well resign after this. But she has just been completely, completely horrific in her handling in all of this from day one. From day one. No information. Refusing to help the public understand what the heck happened that day. And then she's been grilled multiple times in regards to why we haven't seen anything. Why we haven't seen any actual footage. She was grilled yesterday again by reporters. Take a listen to her response. And also look at her body language, because that's really telling here. Take a look.
Video played a big role in this case. The neighbor's video. The rental car video. Mm-hmm. But not the video from the building that he walked in freely both before when he got in the confrontation and when he came back in and decided to kill people. You didn't have cameras in that building. Just say it so we can get this over. And my next question is, will you put
Dan, you
cameras
can follow up.
Will
yeah.
you put the cameras in that building?
Yeah.
We walk here with that bill.
Yeah, you know, I think we need to look back. We'll look at everything that is done, but I do not think a lack of cameras in that building it had anything to do with what happened there. And we will
Thanks,
go Beth. Forward.
For
Thank
time.
You.
Yeah, so she's just going to be completely dismissive of all of this and says, oh, well, we don't know. We don't know. Yeah, well, listen, okay, you were unable to get an image of the suspect out there to the American people. You possibly were the reason why that MIT professor was later killed. This could have been prevented. This could have been stopped if they would have done their due diligence. And by the way, non-U.S. citizen, chances are they had this biometrics in the system. Keep in mind, the Patriot Act requires all non-U.S. citizens when coming in and out of this country to submit their biometrics, their photo. So if they would have ran his face through a federal database, they would have found out who it was. It's absolutely disturbing what happened. It's absolutely disturbing. And it's not getting any easier. Again, we're going to play back that clip. I want you to pay attention to her body language in clip 4. Let's replay that one.
Video played a big role in this case. The neighbor's video. The rental car video. Mm-hmm. But not the video from the building that he walked in freely both before when he got in the confrontation and when he came back in and decided to kill people. You didn't have cameras in that building. Just say it so we can get this over. And my next question is, will you put
Dan, you
cameras,
can follow up.
Yeah.
Put the cameras in that building?
Yeah.
Will you walk cameras in that building?
Yeah, you know, I think we need to look back. We'll look at everything that is done, but I do not think a lack of cameras in that building it had anything to do with what happened there. And we will
Thanks,
go Beth. Forward.
Right over here.
Thank you.
Notice how there's a lack of care, dismissive, then someone comes in and saves her. You see, this is what's going on right now. They don't give a damn. They don't give a damn. It's a little smirk on her face that tells you just that. They don't care. Two students lost their lives. They know they're about to be sued. They know they're about to be sued. The president just sits there and she smirks. She smirks. Doesn't actually care for those students. So you can't tell me that woman cares about those students. She's done a horrible job since day one getting in front of that podium and trying to deliver some basic information to the public. Why even put yourself out there if you're just going to be human garbage and not do anything and smirk at the podium? Again, this is what's going on right now over at Brown University. It's pretty insane. And then you'd also assume that probably the family of the MIT nuclear scientist who was killed, he'll probably possibly sue as well. Because if they did have those cameras in the classroom or around the classroom or just on campus, I mean, the fact that someone's able to walk onto a college campus in 2025 and not have anything is obscene. I mean, look at this one. $8 billion this college had accessible, and they just don't have any cameras around the area. What are the odds that the shooter knew that? What are the odds? Again, non-U.S. citizen, all they had to do is get a still image of him. They could have ran his biometrics, ID'd him that day, because the federal database does have their biometrics if you are a non-U.S. citizen. We could have figured this out pretty quickly. Now, again, I'm not in and I'm not advocating for a surveillance state, but college campuses in 2025 should have cameras. You should know who's coming onto any school grounds. It's an absolute failure on their behalf, and they're not even trying to hide it from the American people. They're laughing. They're smirking. I feel horrible for the victim's family in all of this, all of them, all three of them. And those that were wounded in the shooting. You have an incompetent police department who did the bare minimum at best. At best. Then they shifted blame a couple of times over to the FBI, saying that we handed over this tip over to the FBI, which somehow, some way, the president of the United States thought the suspect was arrested. That wasn't true. He had to issue a correction. How does the president of the United States not know? Well, obviously, there's someone who's feeding him inaccurate information. and whether that came from the FBI directly so they could give themselves a pat on the back. By the way, what's this new trend? I've seen it before in press conferences. Usually it takes a couple of seconds for them to do it. But now there's this new trend whenever we see like a mass shooting or a horrific terror attack where every member in law enforcement and in government gives themselves pats on the back. We did an incredible job at responding to this. Yeah. Bravo PD. Great job. FBI. Great job. Let's bring the president up so we can all clap for her. How about you stop and just give us the information? Give us the information. You want to do it at the end? Fine. But now they lead with that, where they all congratulate one another for doing a great job. You know, yesterday we're watching the press conference, and I'm like, all right, at any point now, they'll stop with this nonsense. But they go around, and they just give each other pats on the back. It's so upsetting to sit back and watch. People are dead. People are dead. You didn't do a great job. You failed. And then they sat there, and they just keep doing it. They just kept doing it last night. I know I wasn't the only one. I was watching on X yesterday, and so many people were fired up and angry at the fact that they continue to do just that. How can you say congratulations, we did a great job investigating this? It took you days to find this person, and he ended up putting a bullet through his own head. You would have caught him sooner. Guess what? That MIT scientist, maybe he'd still be alive. Maybe he'd still be alive. So again, time and time again, these people just continue to go out there and pretend like we did the best we could do. The problem here is they don't admit to any types of errors that were made throughout this investigation. So what happens? Well, it gets worse and worse and worse. And we continue to see it after a terror attack. These DEI hires just sit there and pretend like they did the best thing that they could do, the best job they could do. And if you don't learn from your mistakes, well, guess what? It only gets worse and worse and worse. We live in a surveillance state. There's no excuse for why they didn't have this man's biometrics ran through the federal database and had him ID'd within moments of that shooting. And according, as you see here, according to local reports, Brown University apparently has over 1,200 surveillance cameras. So what happened? Were the cameras down? Was there a hacking situation where those images were deleted? Or the cameras were temporarily down? I mean, these are legit questions. A lot of people actually don't like, companies specifically don't like to admit it when they're hacked. And it takes down their systems, whether it's security systems or personnel decisions or, I mean, sorry, personal information that's hacked into. So we have so many questions. And unfortunately, Brown University, because they know they're about to be sued into oblivion right now, is not going to be handing over that information. It's a story I'll continue to follow, of course. This story isn't over anytime soon, and we're not backing down from this one. Folks, I want to switch gears up a little bit right now and tell you to head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com because we just launched today our brand new product, the Ultimate Power. It will help you bring energy, focus, blood flow, and so much more. This is an incredible item right now. We just launched 30% off by purchasing three or more bottles. It's for a limited time right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. It's also great for endurance as well. Head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. Make sure you grab some of this. This is the Patriot Punch flavor. And I'm hearing this is great. I'll try this on later on the show, of course. But head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. The more you buy, the more you save over at the alexjonesstore.com. All right, we got more to discuss, specifically those Epstein files, which are coming out any moment now. I'll bring you the latest on that in just a moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in. In people who can't make it, it can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after The Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there. The shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalist. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us. You know, we're actually reading my information sheet right now on our brand new Ultimate Power powder that we just launched today. Interesting enough, fun little fact here. It has natural caffeine in it. Natural caffeine. But 100 milligrams, equivalent to about one cup of coffee. And it apparently, and I'll try this in a little bit, it apparently doesn't give you that mid-afternoon crash. That's a big one. That's a big one. It also has all the really important vitamins in it as well, like B12 and vitamin B6, which is great for those exact reasons alone. And the best part about this, folks, just to kind of like add a little bit more to it, is if you need another reason to buy Ultimate Power right now over at thealexjonesstore.com, when you buy a bottle of this, you actually get more and more discounts. So what do I mean by that? Well, 10% off is what you're going to get when you buy one. If you buy two bottles, you get 20% off. And if you buy three, you get 30% off right now.
And every purchase gets you about 100 times the entries to win that Ford Raptor, plus $10,000 in cash. And of course, the best part about all of this is it helps keep this operation alive. So head on over right now to the AlexJonesStore.com. We're excited about this. I will definitely start trying this one next because I think this one's really important for you. So many of you guys now, I've been battling a cold. I'm good now. I'm on the other side of all of this, but I could use an energy boost. And so that will be my next go-to. All right, let's go back to all of the stories you guys wanted to talk about today. Specifically, though, Epstein files. As many of you guys know, Congress finally did something. They finally did something. They passed, obviously, the legislation that was supposed to force the DOJ to release the Epstein files, forcing President Trump to sign it into law. And here we are, 30-day mark. Just happens to be a Friday, which you call a Friday news dump. And it also just happens to be a Friday before the holidays. So they might think you're not paying attention. We're paying attention, though. The deputy AG, Todd Blanche, was just on Fox News just a few moments ago. And just so you don't have to watch, we do over here on Infor. So, of course, we watch all of these interviews to give you the information that you need to know. And so in clip 12, this is what Todd Blanche detailed specifically in regards to those files that are going to be released in just a few hours. Take a listen.
Release. So in these files, are we going to learn any new information about Epstein and people that may have been associated with him?
So yes, so today is the 30 days where, and I expect that we're going to release several hundred thousand documents today, and those documents will come in all different forms, photographs and other materials associated with all of the investigations into Mr. Epstein. And just so everybody appreciates, President Trump has said for years that he wants full transparency and he wants the Department of Justice to release everything that we can with respect to this investigation and cases. And we saw during the Biden administration radio silence from the very Democrats that are screaming from congressional steps today that we haven't done enough. But guess what? President Trump signed that law 30 days ago and we have been working tirelessly since that day to make sure that we get every single document that we have within the Department of Justice, review it and get it to the American public. Now, the most important thing that the Attorney General has talked about, that Director Patel has talked about, is that we protect victims. And so what we're doing is we are looking at every single piece of paper that we are going to produce, making sure that every victim, their name, their identity, their story, to the extent it needs to be protected, is completely protected.
All right, obviously, we want the victims protected. That's common sense here. But it's whether or not they abuse that redaction power. That's going to be the key element in all of this. They are obviously not very trustworthy these days. We saw what happened the first time they were expected to release the first phase of the Epstein files. Isn't that crazy, folks? They were supposed to release the first phase. Remember when Pam Bondi decided to use those social media influencers who were at the White House, not for that, hand them binders, pretend like there was something of substance in those binders that we found out. There was nothing in there. She knew there was nothing in there. How do we know that? Well, she put a letter in there to the FBI director saying that they didn't hand over everything. You can't miss a good photo op. And so she had them all walk out there with the folders, with the binders. And it was a big nothing burger. So the first phase didn't go over well. As you can see, we never got a second phase after that, even Susie Wiles saying that it was an absolute mess. She was a little bit more elegant in her decision-making when she used those words, though, or used some words to describe how much of a mess it was. And now we're at a point where we're forcing these people to admit that this is a top priority for the American people. Now, Democrats obviously use this moment as an opportunity to stir up some controversy. Go figure. But again, here we are. We might get some information. We might. My personal opinion on all of this is that all of the important information that would have possibly led to some type of criminal prosecution of those whose last names rhyme with, like, Clinton, probably all gone. I could not imagine the last regime leaving that stuff behind. This was a commitment from President Donald Trump on the campaign trail. Democrats didn't demand these documents when they had full control. They only did that when they were able to politically use it to their advantage to go after President Trump. Let's remind you all that. As now we're waiting, as these documents are expected to be released any hour now. Now, according to reports, again, the Justice Department is going to be releasing this. It's going to be thousands of pages, records. Those documents are going to be in all different types of forms, specifically photographs and any material associated with the investigation into Epstein. Now, yesterday, Democrats decided to drop some more photos from what they've received from the Epstein estate. Love to see who the people are behind the Epstein estate, by the way. But House Democrats released 68 images. And it's interesting. A lot of it's, again, you can't 100% really go after these people because some of this is just dinners. And you'd have to know that these people knew exactly who Epstein was. I mean, you know how many times, like, I've gone to dinners, business dinners, conference meetings, and you just meet people who are sitting at a table with you and you have a conversation. Doesn't mean you're associated with Epstein. So just keep that in mind. But they're talking about one of the events, which hosted obviously a lot of top tech people that are in the photographs. It was the Edge Group's annual dinner back in 2011. Now, again, these are just people that they're listing in here that were in attendance, so I don't think it's fair to really kind of read off their names because it doesn't mean that they were actually friendly with Epstein or making trips to the island to rape young girls. But Democrats being very, very particular in which information they obviously release. We saw what they did with President Trump. Well, they thought they were releasing an image of President Trump that we haven't seen thus far, and they intentionally blurred out or they put black boxes over the faces of the women he was in a photo with. And it's like, yeah, we've actually received that photo. It's been public for a while now. And those are adult women. But it's all about intentionally trying to be misleading here. Because if President Trump had any ties to Jeffrey Epstein, you would have heard about it by now. I mean, they tried their very best. They literally took two shots at him. Two separate instances of trying to kill him. They tried throwing him in prison. 150 charges? This one. Isn't this crazy? They tried to make it seem like these were kids. The guy takes photos with everyone. He's a celebrity. And so this is what they do. Now, there were some photographs I thought were very interesting. Obviously, involving people like Bill Gates, who have been accused of his very close ties with Epstein. I thought that was interesting, those photos as well. Now, again, the images being released aren't images that I would say are convincing that these individuals had any type of ties to what was going on behind closed doors or was happening over on the island. And it's interesting, too, because the Bill Gates images include photos of women and other images while they were aboard his private jet. Also included in some of the photos, obviously, is Woody Allen, as we mentioned, President Trump, according to Daily Mail as well, and Steve Bannon, who has publicly spoken about his role with Epstein. And in not being a sexual predator when he's denied those accusations. Again, this was a time where some of these people may have not known. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. I just want to know who was actually, and this is the problem, we have so many victims who have come forward. But they don't say names. Why don't they say names? I guess they're in fear of their lives. That's probably the most common sense response to that one. But again, I think it'd be really interesting to hear some names get dropped in all of this. Because I don't want to sit there and wrongfully accuse anyone of anything, but these girls who are still alive, they know who went out there and who was the rapist and who wasn't. And so I'd like to hear them drop names. Maybe they're afraid of a defamation lawsuit. Maybe that's what we should have pushed for in Congress. For those who are known victims, that they could release the names and they would be immune to any type of defamation lawsuits. That might have been interesting, of course, but Also, I guess the men do have a right to defend themselves publicly. It's pretty much a toss-up on this one. So we'll continue to watch, obviously, as the documents get released. I'll keep my eye on it, try to speed read through it as much as I can. We'll also use a couple of keywords to see if we could get you information as fast as possible on those documents. I'll keep you in the loop, though, as that develops. Let's turn to Australia. Australia's got a big problem on their hands right now. As we reported yesterday, there were seven men who were arrested in Sydney who were apparently heading over to Bondi Beach. That was the initial report. Now, these seven men were driving in two separate vehicles. Law enforcement got a tip. They rammed their vehicle, arrested all of these men. Well, apparently they're about to be released. Take a listen to the latest update that we have in clip five. Take a listen.
The information received was that Bondi may have been one of a number of locations that the males were intending to attend, but the reason for attending is unknown. The justification for their ongoing detention no longer exists, subject to a review of evidence. They will continue to be monitored whilst in New South Wales, and we will work closely with our Victorian and Commonwealth law enforcement partners.
All right, so how quickly that story has died out, because I tried looking for updates to see who these men are. Are they native? Are they not? They don't look native. But again, you can't assume anything. You got to kind of go where the facts bring you. And oh, how quickly the information just poof, disappears. Are these men armed? I mean, these are basic questions you could answer. They've just decided not to. They've decided not to. The response that they were, I mean, the fact that the police rammed their vehicle tells you everything you need to know. They thought it was urgent. They thought that this was a big, major issue that needed to be stopped immediately. And there was a funeral going on for a 10-year-old. So again, that was one of the victims. We're waiting to see more on this front. But, you know, the Australian officials coming out, I mean, they are just absolute scumbags. They use any type of terror attack to validate crunching down on what I would deem are your rights, your rights to protect your family and your loved ones. And let me remind you, back in the mid-90s, before they did their first major crunch down on gun ownership, there were about, I think it was 16% of Australian homeowners owned firearms. Well, that was quickly pushed down to 6%. And now that 6%, well, they're under attack. They're under attack. See, this is the problem, folks. They don't want to address the issue here. The issue here isn't the guns. The issue here is the Islamic terrorists that you've imported into your country. But you can't let a good crisis go to waste. The Prime Minister of Australia was actually asked about this, Anthony Albanese. And he was asked specifically about Islam and the threats that it imposes. Take a listen to clip six and his response, or lack of response.
To follow on Ruben's question, is radical Islam, in your view, the greatest domestic security threat Australia faces?
Well, the assessments are that that is one of the issues that we're dealing with. But I want to deal with all of the threats, whether it be extremist perversions of Islam leading to support for the ideology promoted by ISIS, whether it be also concerned about the issue of sovereign citizens killing police in Victoria and Queensland. I'm concerned about neo-Nazis thinking it's okay to march down our streets dressed in black, not worrying about their faces being covered, explicitly promoting that as well. Some of these things are not new. James Salim, National Action Person, tried to kill Eddie Fundy from the African National Congress when I was a student. I was a candidate against that reprehensible fascist at Sydney University in 1983. This has been around a long period of time. There are issues have escalated, and we need to take action against all of them.
Yeah, we need to take action against all of them. How about you just address the major issue here? The major issue. What motivated them to grab these firearms that they legally obtained and then use it to kill Jews who were just enjoying the holiday on a beach? It's the same motive that's happening all around the world. All around the world. It's the reason why Germans can't go out and enjoy a good Christmas market. Not just them, obviously. It's also taking place in France. They can't even go out for New Year's Eve. They'll tell you, oh, we can't do a New Year's celebration anymore. Not because, well, of Islam. No, no, no. We just can't control the crowds. Well, you were able to control those crowds 20 years ago. What's changed? Well, you've imported the third world into your country. Men from the third world. They are violent. They are going after people in your country. And because you are just too cowardly to address the true issue here, you're going to sit here and go, let's address all the issues here. Let's go off to the far right. The far right. No, no, no. The issue here is Islam. And their refusal to address that shows you that they're all cowards. All cowards. Their behavior, their response shows that they are all committing treason. They've abandoned their people. And instead of being direct and saying Islam was the biggest motive behind this attack, we're going to sit here and dance around the issue. We're going to pretend like it's not. Because we're all too afraid of what's going to happen next. Because they know that these individuals are violent. We see it all the time in the UK. Sadly, there was an attack where this man was literally going after someone who has criticized Islam. This Islamist was trying to stab him, had a knife in his hand and was trying to stab him. And the police officer that intercepted and was trying his best to stop the attack wasn't trying to stop the attacker that was armed. No, no, no. That was the difficult one. Instead, he pinned down the victim. Now, how'd that work out for the police officer? Well, sadly, he was gashed in the throat and died. But this is the problem here. They'd rather go after the more aggressive, well, the less aggressive ones, rather than taking on the true fight. The true fight here is Islam. You've imported it to your country. These people hate you. They hate you. And again, not all. But folks, if you're reading the Quran, you truly believe everything that's in it. Then you truly believe that you were called to carry out a terror attack like we saw unravel. Like we saw unravel. And so it's really hard for me to wrap my mind around all of this and pretend like they really are doing their best right now to prevent this from happening again. No, folks, if they were trying to prevent this from happening again, you know what they'd do? They'd go after the jihadists. They'd publicly execute this man here on your screen. But they're not really about this issue. This is not an issue that they truly want to take on. Instead, the issue that they're going to take on right now is their new buyback program. In Australia right now, officials are telling citizens that they're going to be buying back their firearms. It's not a buyback, folks, because they were never your firearms in the first place. You can't buy them back. Can't buy them back. You were trying to seize their firearms because you let in Islamic terrorists. And I hear the reports that the son isn't, he was born there, doesn't matter, he was radicalized. And his family is not native. So again, not supposed to be there. So what are we talking about here? Well, we're talking about this buyback plan that they're trying to push out there. Buyback sounds really good, right? We're not taking your guns, we're buying them back from you. But you can't buy back guns that didn't belong to you in the first place. They are trying to seize firearms from people who should be able to defend their family. In fact, given the fact that Australian police failed so badly to defend those people on that beach that day, what do I mean by that? Waiting over 15 minutes before engaging with the shooters. Because why? Well, they hired a bunch of females on their force who didn't want to engage. They were afraid because, well, they had rifles and they had handguns. According to reports, they were intimidated by that. Women shouldn't belong in law enforcement agencies anyway. I'm going to say it. Yeah, there are some that are rare and I truly believe belong. Maybe detectives. That could be a role for police, for females. But as a whole, those who are going to have to confront violent men, those women know that they don't stand a chance. That's why they back down. That's why they were hiding behind vehicles, waiting for their male colleagues to come and save them. And it's not just that. When they did actually open fire and engage with these shooters, they actually shot the wrong person. They actually shot, according to reports, the one brazen individual who was unarmed and tried his very best to tackle the shooters. He was shot. But now Australian officials want you to believe that they're doing a buyback because it sounds good. Take a listen to clip 7.
We expect hundreds of thousands of firearms will be collected and destroyed through this scheme. Consistent with the approach that was taken in 1996, the government is proposing that states and territories will be responsible for the collection, processing and payment to individuals for surrendered firearms. The Australian Federal Police will then be responsible for the destruction of these firearms.
Oh, that's what we need. That's what we need. We actually need, we need less people who are capable of defending their family members. It's crazy, folks. This is all crazy. Time and time again, we see when law enforcement is needed to respond appropriately to issues, terrorist attacks, any type of issue, they are just incapable of doing so. Why? Because they thought they were going to get a cushy job. They thought this would never happen to them, that they would never have to confront Islamic terrorists. And they thought, we're just going to collect a paycheck. Now, obviously, that's not all law enforcement agents. I understand that. There are tons of officers out there that truly do put their lives on the line. But those women, we saw the footage. We saw the videos. We saw the photos. We're hiding behind cars while civilians are being slaughtered on the beach for celebrating Hanukkah. So the response now is, well, we're going to take guns away from law-abiding citizens. And police are going to be the only ones with guns. And terrorists. Whatever they want to carry out, terror attack, they'll find a way. They'll find a way. And again, to remind you folks, there was two incredible people that day who thought they could take down the shooter when they saw him come out of his vehicle with an ISIS flag on his car. They tried their very best to tackle him. A couple did. And sadly, both of them lost their lives. Had more courage than police officers that were armed that day. So again, that's what we're dealing with here. If you would have given those two guns, I'm sure they would have taken them out. I'm sure they would have taken them out. It's absolutely devastating. Truly is devastating. And when we learn more, we find out that the shooters apparently were over in the Philippines learning how to shoot, or going through training. That's according to their passports. And a very interesting correlation to the, you know, the Las Vegas shooter. You guys remember that? Apparently, according, was also in the Philippines for about a month for hunting trips as well. Probably something to look into. Probably something to look into. Oh, and speaking about heroes, apparently the Arab media is actually attacking that brave man who apparently is from one of the Arab nations. I'm not sure which one, but specifically the one who went there and tackled one of the shooters. Well, they're saying he's a traitor. These are the people you've imported into your countries. Good luck. Good luck. All right, folks, we got more to discuss in just a bit. Don't go anywhere as we kick off the second hour of the show. Got a ton more stories to read and catch you up on, of course. Plus, we have a lineup of incredible guests joining us in just a little bit. So buckle up. We got more to discuss in just a moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
We're going to catch you up on, of course. Then we have a lineup of incredible guests joining us as well. So we'll be doing just that in just a bit. So buckle up. Our President Trump yesterday caught me off guard. I won't tell you who, but he endorsed somebody who is very questionable. And it had me scratching my head. So we'll get to that in a little bit. Also, we'll talk about, sadly, the NASCAR legend who lost his life yesterday. Sadly, the news is just devastating. Greg Biffle and his family passed away yesterday in a horrific plane crash. We'll bring you those details, plus the devastating, the last final devastating text message that his wife sent over to her mother before that plane crash, just moments before. It is just absolutely heartbreaking, especially given the fact that this family has done some incredible, incredible charity over the years. We'll also be discussing, too, a judge in Milwaukee. She has actually just been found guilty of obstructing and impeding ICE agents. We talked about this story. I've been talking about this story and covering it extensively. This is a good thing. This is a great thing. It's finally good to see that they are holding these people accountable. And so we'll dive into that. Plus, TikTok, there is an update regarding the deal, the sale of TikTok. I'll bring you that as well. And Congressman Tim Burchett is trying his very best to block the IRS from stealing more money from you. It's got a new bill he just put out there. It's an interesting one. He actually dropped a video on just that. I'll bring you the latest. Plus, Sebastian Gorka, who apparently is the senior director of counterterrorism. I know a lot of us aren't a fan of Gorka. That's me treading lightly. But he did make a major announcement earlier. Well, I guess I'd say late yesterday evening, and we will play that for you. It's kind of good news. Plus, we're learning more and more about Trump media and how they are getting together with a fusion power company as well. We'll bring you the latest details on that front later in the show. Plus, Drew Hernandez will be joining me in a little bit as well. That will be in the third hour, as well as Mel Kay. Got a lot of talk about with Drew. I see Drew is not very happy on social media with the direction our government has been heading in. He is critical, and rightfully so. So we look forward to having him on. As many of you guys know, he's the host of the Drew Hernandez Show, as well as an investigative reporter. So we look forward to having him on the program to discuss just that. Plus, Mel Kay joining the show today to talk about AI. It's obviously a big issue. And the president, I was kind of skeptical. I wasn't really a big fan of this, but again, I am no AI expert. Mel Kay is, though. So she'll be joining us to detail her potential maybe worries. Maybe she's worried about that new executive order the president just signed this week. That executive order takes power away from the states when it comes to AI regulations and just lets the federal government hold all of that. That's kind of concerning. Mel Kay will join us to sound off on that front. Plus, we'll also talk about Jack Smith, because as many of you know, he did give testimony behind closed doors this week. It was interesting. It was interesting. They haven't given us the full transcript, of course, but according to reports, he's pleading all that happened was very innocent. Also, remember when we told you, I opened up the show by telling you that President Trump is making an announcement at 1 p.m. Eastern time today? Well, it looks like that announcement is going to be related to lower drug prices. So we look forward to bringing you that in just a bit as well. All right, a lot to catch you up on, of course, on this front. So we'll dive into that in just a moment. In the meantime, head it over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. Ultimate Power, it's on sale right now. We just launched this today. The more you buy, the more you save. Every time you buy a bottle, there's a little bit of a discount added to that. Maximum is 30% off when you buy three, of course, over at thealexjonesstore.com right now. But if you're wondering, what's this Ultimate Power powder all about? Well, it helps with energy, focus, blood flow, and endurance. And interesting enough, it actually has caffeine in it, but it's natural caffeine. 100 milligrams of caffeine, which is equivalent to one cup of coffee without that midday crash. And it has all of the vitamins in it that help ensure just that, like B12 and B6. So head on over right now. Stop what you're doing and head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. And make sure you grab yourself some Ultimate Power Powder right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. Plus, there's more and incredible savings over at the shop right now. Head on over there and make sure you do just that. All right, more coming up in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Whoa, dude, is that methylene blue? This house really knows me.
Oh, wow, Shilajit gummies. I gotta hide these from Melania. She loved them bigly. These sure taste great, and they're good for me, too. You can buy me now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Well, hello there, Info Warriors. We are having a 60% off sale on selected items. Take a look behind me. We have the sea moss and Shilajit gummies. And you know, we have the medical grade methylene blue that will light your ass up like a Christmas tree. You can also buy one of me in the store. Act now while supplies last.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. All right, let's chat a little bit. Specifically, I want to chat with you guys about President Donald Trump and his recent endorsement. Got to talk about this one. It's not ideal. Maybe you've heard of the guy. His name is Congressman Tony Gonzalez. Not very popular in the state of Texas. When you talk to Texans, they're not happy with him. For many years now, he's been accused of, and this has obviously never been confirmed, but there's been accusations he's faced by a lot of people. They all deemed him as corrupt or just someone who's been working with very questionable characters. But there was a report that was put out, and although he's denied these claims, it's important for me to highlight that. Gonzalez is someone who has been accused of having an affair with one of his staffers. Now, he is married. She was married. And the staffer, sadly, later ends up taking her own life. And the details behind that suicide are actually really, really horrifying. According to police, she doused herself in gasoline and then lit herself on fire. Now, again, the congressman has denied having an affair with his staffer. Daily Mail has been very persistent in its publication and publicizing what was actually going down. A little different for them, but the president issuing an endorsement. And Tony Gonzalez, he's a rhino. He's a rhino. President Trump saying that Gonzalez is terrific. He's a terrific representative. What the heck have you been watching, guy? This dude has been a rhino. Then he goes on to saying that Tony Gonzalez has my complete and total endorsement for re-election. He will not let you down. Ugh. Total cringe moment when I saw that one come in. Total cringe moment. Now, obviously, there are others who are trying to challenge him. On top of it all, too, it's worth noting that the local GOP wants him gone, too. I don't know if President Trump doesn't know that. I don't know who handles these posts, who handles these endorsements, but this one's not ideal. This one's not ideal. Now, hopefully Texans in the area will reject this endorsement. Because man, oh man, it is a bad endorsement. And there's been many of those. So we'll watch it as it develops, but folks, that was a rough one yesterday. A rough one. Let's turn to a tragic story yesterday. You know, I think we were all praying yesterday that this family was not on board, but we received news of a plane crash. Sorry, folks. And the news itself was absolutely devastating when we learned that Greg Biffle's family was on board during the time of the crash. Now, as many of you guys know, he's a NASCAR legend. He's a NASCAR legend. Sadly, his wife, him, and his two children were on board, it looks like, according to reports. And sadly, obviously, the plane did crash. And the devastating part is the family obviously knew something was wrong. And according to reports, the wife had texted her and mother saying, "We're in trouble." And that was it. The news was absolutely devastating, folks. The images that were coming out of all of this were heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. Just so you know, Greg and his family were actually very, very giving people. I remember during the North Carolina flooding that they actually were flying their plane to help give resources. And so to hear this news, it's just devastating. The footage is heartbreaking. It is just so sad that they obviously knew what was happening to them. Now, again, we're waiting for more information, but probably a mechanical issue if they were well aware of all of this. Apparently, they were heading over to Sarasota. It was supposed to be a 45-minute flight. And so the details are just absolutely devastating. Obviously, his family is in our prayers because I don't know how. I don't know how to get over this one. This is a rough one. Just such loving people. Everyone has nothing but positive things to say about this family specifically, though. So we'll wait for more news to come out on this one, but obviously this is devastating, devastating news. Apparently in total, though, there were 7 people killed. And this happened, it looked like it was returning to North Carolina Airport shortly after takeoff, killing all 7 people aboard. That's the final report on that one. Devastating news of a beautiful family's life taken too soon and everybody else who was on that flight. Absolutely horrific. Let's turn to other news. This one a little bit more upbeat. Remember we told you about this Milwaukee County Circuit Judge, Hannah Dugan? Well, good news. Obviously, as many of you guys know, probably remember the image. ICE was trying to get someone in her courtroom, and I believe he was accused of domestic violence, if I'm not mistaken. But she tried her very best to intercept ICE and prevent ICE from being able to come in. She's just been found guilty of felony obstruction for impeding ICE agents attempting to arrest a illegal alien at a courthouse earlier this year. The obstruction conviction carries potentially a 5-year prison sentence if she's found guilty. Again, Dugan was charged and she was arrested back in April. When she confronted these 2 plainclothed ICE agents who were outside of her courtroom, who again, Eduardo Rudez, they always have 2 last names, Flores, who was appearing in court for misdemeanor battery charges, and ICE was there to get him out. And obviously, if you're a left-wing hack, you would do what she did that day. You've got more respect for the actual suspect and the actual victim. Prosecutors alleged that she had actually learned about the agent's presence and then directed them to the chief's court office and then allowed the suspect to leave. Many of you guys know this. This video was actually caught national attention because it was so outrageous that a judge would step out and do just this. Important to know, though, she was also acquitted on a separate misdemeanor charge of concealing a person to prevent arrest. I don't know how you acquit her on that, but they did. They did. And so again, she's looking at 5 years in prison. I'm sure they won't give her 5 years. I'm sure her fellow colleague will be very empathetic. That is one of their own. So we'll keep our eye on that. We'll keep our eye on that. Folks, in a little bit, we'll be taking your calls as well. So if you'd like to give us a call, do just that. 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. That is the number you call into in just a bit. We'll be taking those calls, of course, in just, I'd say about 20 minutes. Be a little quicker today than normal, but we We still want to hear from you on any of the stories we covered thus far. All right, looks like, and I've never agreed with this, but let's just talk about the facts here before I go after all of this. TikTok owners, ByteDance, many of you guys know that. This is the Chinese company. Again, if you're a Chinese owner of a company, you are owned by the CCP. You can't live in that country and not disclose information to the Chinese. Well, the TikTok CEO has apparently told his employees the social media app as of Thursday has signed a binding agreement to create a joint venture for the app in the United States. Now, it is agreed in the deal with the Trump administration. So this was one of their things that they needed. They needed approval. Looks like they've just gotten that. The deal means that there's going to be a major U.S.-owned group of investors, according to NBC News. One of those investors, though, includes Orca, a California private equity fund called Silver Lake. Oh, United Arab Emirates investment firm, MGX. Huh, would you look at that. Surprise, surprise. Oracle declined to comment, but shares the company jumped more than 5% after this was announced. I never really liked this. See, I think that the American people are smart enough, if you educate them on understanding what TikTok is all about, to not participate in the app. Now, I have made a TikTok account. I really haven't posted much there, but I did it to try to get younger people to understand the conservative side of all of this, because I understand that the CCP has really gotten in control and is pushing communist material on there. So I think it's our obligation as conservatives to put our content out there as well and hope that we could save some young kids from leaning and turning into a bunch of communists. So that's why I've been posting some videos. I think I've got like 10 maybe up there. But I got to say, I'm very disappointed in all of this. I don't understand why we allow this. We should not allow our government to kind of step in and say, oh, that's a bad company. They can't own it. Because they could do that to anyone, right? They could say it's a national security threat. And trust me, I do believe that TikTok is. But at what point do we say, all right, maybe it's best just to educate Americans into knowing what TikTok is. Knowing that you allow access. Your data is allowed to be shared with TikTok, which is being shared with the CCP. How they manipulate the algorithm to promote content that is very privy to whatever they want to push. We saw it in New York City when Zohran Mamdani was running for New York City mayor. They were intentionally pushing pro-Zohran Mamdani content and then going after people like Andrew Cuomo, promoting those that were pushing on content that were targeting Cuomo. Because, of course, they're communists. They want communism here in the United States. And so they've manipulated this app, this platform to do just that. How about just inform young people about that? Why do we believe that the government should be making these decisions for people? This is why younger generations are just not as educated as the older generations are. Because we've allowed the government to make our decisions for us. And so the government forced the sale of TikTok. They were doing just that. And you think that the Saudis are somehow going to be more favorable for its content than the Chinese? Again, it's not cool what's going on right now. And this is what I was referring to here, folks, on your screen. How they were boosting and meddling in the New York City mayoral race by boosting Mamdani over Cuomo content. That's why it was so important for these people to get their hands on all of this. So, yeah, I strongly disagreed with this from the very beginning and told you all that I don't think it's okay for us to do this, because when does it end? What is this argument? We see it time and time again, right? When they want to censor free speech, they say, oh, well, that's a national security threat. We have to jump on that and take that person offline because of the things they're saying. That's hate speech. And then that narrow hate speech excuse kind of broadens more and more and more as the years go on because you've accepted it. That's what's going to happen here. There's no way that this just ends with TikTok. There's absolutely no way. All right, let's turn to my favorite person in Congress, I don't have many. I think at this point it's pretty fair to say that this is my guy, Congressman Tim Burchett. He is an incredible congressman for the state of Tennessee. And he's looking to make sure that Americans don't get just like a one-time rebate in regards to tariffs. In fact, he's now pushing for something called the Trump Tariff Rebate Act. Now, he's going to lay it out for you in clip 8. Take a listen.
Hey, everybody. Tim Burchett. Just going to the House floor to drop a bill I've been working on. When the president came out with his tariff plan, I started thinking of how the folks could get some of that their hard-earned money back. And I know some folks have proposed a $2,000 check to every American. I got something a little different. I want to increase the standard deduction for all tax-paying Americans and do that with $4,000 for joint filers and surviving spouses, $3,000 for heads of household, and $2,000 for all their Americans. It would increase your standard deduction and it'll put you in a lower tax bracket, meaning your taxes overall are decreased, which I think is pretty cool. You see some actual savings. And it wouldn't cause inflation, which some people have theorized that if we write a check to everybody, that it could do just that. And this really just means lower taxes and more money in your dadgum pocket. I think everybody will support that. And I'm calling it the Trump Tariff Rebate Act. So we'll see what happens. It's going to make a lot of people uncomfortable because that ain't the way we've done business around here. But dadgummit, if we're going to put these tariffs in effect, let's see some of that money in our own pockets and quit paying so much taxes. Anyway, thank y'all for sending me here.
He's like the best. Thank y'all for sending me here. There's no one better than that man right there. It is great to hear him do this. Okay, who can say no to that? This man's all about common sense. By the way, his defund the Taliban movement, his bill, that's still being held up in the Senate, by the way. Your taxpayer money is actually still going to funding the Taliban. He tried to step in. He tried to stop it. But apparently someone in the Senate or a couple people in the Senate are probably profiting off of that. And so they can't stop the funding for the Taliban. And speaking of Islamic terrorists, good news. And normally I wouldn't play a Sebastian Gorka clip because I don't think the guy understands what counterterrorism actually means. But we'll be kind. I'll be kind. I'll be nice. He had a big announcement. I think this one's really important. In clip 9, you're going to hear him talk about the latest in regards to the jihadists that President Trump has executed. Take a listen.
As of this morning, at 449 jihadis who have been terminated since the president was sworn back in again. That is excluding the Houthi campaign, excluding the cartel drug boats. So breaking news on your show, 449 jihadis vaporized.
Vaporized. His accent's just too much for me. It actually makes him sound less official. But Sebastian Gorka bringing us that news that 449 jihadists have been killed by the Trump administration, which is good news, of course, but there's thousands of more, and we've also helped create them. So it's kind of like we're still moving backwards. But that's good news. We'll celebrate it, of course, because another day with less jihadists in the world, it's always a good day. It's always a good day. Let's turn to this. President Trump, he wants to make America healthy again. He's on a mission. MAHA obviously being very popular in this country right now. And this one's important. He's now going to start challenging high school students, high school athletes from all around the country will come together over the next year to compete in something that's actually going to be pretty cool. I kind of wish we had this in high school rather than just locally competing. This will be more of a national opportunity for them. It's a new athletic competition, and it's a part of the United States' 250th birthday celebration, according to President Trump, who made that announcement yesterday. It will be called the Patriot Games. It will be the first of its kind. It will allow young or high school athletes over a span of 4 days to come together, young men and young women, important to know, biological young men compete against young men, and biological young women compete against young women from each state and territory. The fall, we'll be hosting this. We'll be the first ever Patriot game. and will create this unprecedented 4-day of athletic events, which will feature some of the best athletes in high school sports. Now, again, that's very, very important. I love it. You know, I was watching, looking at footage of like high school students nowadays. And my gosh, it is so bad how many are overweight. They don't push these things in schools, and I think that they should. I think they should. So this is the good news. This will be one of the many events going on. The first of its kind. And it's going to highlight incredible both female and male athletes at the high school level. So we look forward to seeing it. Maybe I'll go there and cover it. It will be both my political angled all of this, but also bring back my sports days. Again, Democrats, though, not happy and immediately decided to bash the Patriot Games. I don't even know how you bash it. We won't even probably give them any attention. These people are trolls, and as I always say, don't feed the pigeons. Don't feed the pigeons. All right, so a lot more going on. We're also taking your calls. Let me just remind you of that. 877-789-2539. We'll start taking those calls in about 7 minutes, I'd say. 877-789-2539. If you'd like to join the show, that is the best way to do just that. Give us a call. Give us a call. Maybe you're watching AmpFest yesterday, and there were a couple of key calls, or I guess key speeches, I should say, that you thought were really important. We could highlight just that, of course. We'll also play probably, if we have time, a little bit of Erica Kirk's speech from last night as well. Because that one's really important as well. I don't know if you guys saw this one yesterday. The Trump Media and Technology Group and TAE Technologies, which is a power fusion company, on Thursday have agreed to an all-stock merger that the company is valued at more than $6 billion. The merger with TAE would create one of the world's first public trading nuclear fusion companies. Now, I'm no expert on this. I will not try to sell you, as if I am. The company said that they intend to bring construction on the first. Let me zoom in. I'm partially blind.
Hey, yeah. So the first nuclear fusion reactor, which seems like it's something that could be out of like sci-fi.
Yeah.
You know, it's this is the process that powers the sun and the stars. And it seemed unattainable. What's really interesting is that a lot of people are speculating on this, and there have been recent breakthroughs that have made it seem as if it's something that can be viable. It is important to note that the process is really complicated to initiate and control, and they've only had small instances where they've claimed that they've achieved fusion for like a split second in lab settings. There are people who say that the technological advancements have yet to be made, and there may be materials that have yet to be synthesized.
Bringing us the latest on that, Matt, thank you. Yeah, I'll be interested to see. As many of you guys know, the Trump Media Company is kind of struggling financially a bit. This will be interesting to see as it all plays out. But it's an interesting merger, one that I would have not expected, of course. Folks, we're going to be taking your calls, as I mentioned, in just about 6 minutes, I'd say. 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We'll be talking to you in just a little bit. So if you want to give us a ring, talk about a story that we've covered thus far, maybe one that's not on our radar, we'll be taking your calls and getting to that. In the meantime, though, very exciting news here. We have just launched the Ultimate Power Powder over at thealexjonesstore.com. If you're someone looking to maybe fix or improve your energy focus, blood flow, and endurance, this is the formula for you. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. The more you buy, the more you save. You can save up to 30% off the bottles when you buy up to three. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you try this one out.
Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot do this without you. You're the reason we're here. You're our sponsor. You are what keeps us on air. And we are launching today through the 23rd of December, the final days of Christmas sale at theolivestore.com. 60% off on our best-selling ultramethylene blue, Irish sea moss gummies, and Shilajit gummies, and more. If you haven't tried our ultramethylene blue that is the strongest, best out there that we found, bar none, you're crazy. What it does for your mitochondria, your energy, your stamina, with no letdown, is insane. It's so good for you. Just research the studies. We have medical grade. We have the best. And you've seen all our guests and others that come in here, and they're just blown away by it, including those who are already taking methylene blue. They're like, wow, this is way stronger, way better. It's amazing. I'm challenging all of you. I'm challenging everybody to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds. We are in the red. I met with accountants this morning. Not too bad, but we're there. And we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy a new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and get 50% off on all future orders in perpetuity until you decide to cancel. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition, over 700 designs at thealexjonesstore.com. So my challenge to all of you is this. Get a bottle of ultramethylene blue for 60% off right now, and then you're going to be blown away and reorder it. You've heard all the people call in with their testimonials. This is the real deal. The best salesmen sell the best products. I promote and sell freedom. I promote and sell stopping the globalists. You know my information is the most accurate out there. Why on earth would you think that I would tell you this will change your life? The Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, the bovine colostrum, ultimate life force, spike protein, cardiovascular detox. All these are kick-butt products. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Please do your Christmas shopping there. We need your support. It's a win-win for everybody. You keep this operation. It's a true thorn on the side of the globalists on the air. And separately, the classic nitric boost. Dr. Judy Mikovits, you know, I didn't know she knew about it. She bought it. So this is the best formula for your heart and for spike protein and for everything else. And men notice it in the morning when they wake up. It is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com exclusively. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost. All of you need these products. Take action now.
Whoa, dude, is that methylene blue? This house really knows me.
Oh, wow, Shilajit gummies. I gotta hide these from Melania. She loved them bigly. These sure taste great, and they're good for me, too. You can buy me now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Ho, 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 ho! Merry Christmas!
American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. A lot happening over here. We want to catch you up on, in case you didn't know. By the way, I think I left out this one key word. According to local reports, Jeffrey Epstein documents that are being released later today will be released in batches. With all of that and the redactions, doesn't really look good. But batches usually mean we'll give you the most, non-controversial stuff probably first. This is my opinion, of course. And then the controversial stuff we'll dump later when no one's looking. So the DOJ gonna drop everything off in batches. Interesting. Interesting way to handle this, of course, but it's the safest way, of course, if you're trying to protect
high-profile pedophiles. All right, let's turn to Infowars.com. We have so many incredible stories over at Infowars.com that keep you up to date. And if you don't like the mainstream media and you're looking for an alternative, well, that's where you're going to want to go. Specifically, I want to go to this first story that we have up right now. Raw Egg National is one of our many incredible reporters over at Infowars.com, and he's been doing a lot of digging into the Syria terror attack. As many of you guys know, we talked about it earlier this week. Sadly, we lost two brave soldiers, U.S.-American soldiers, and one interpreter after a jihadist who apparently is aligned with ISIS decided to lead an ambush attack and sadly killed these three Americans. Now, we're learning more and more details into all of that, and one of those details claims that there have been five arrests made thus far. So joining me to break down his latest report is Raw Egg Nationalist right now. He is with us. I want to thank you for being here, my friend. It's good to have you on, of course. Let's talk about this report that you just released, because it's Syria. So again, I tread lightly on the subject matter. Sometimes they are all about the big wins here, especially given the fact they're trying to get very close with the Trump administration. But you're reporting that there's been five arrests thus far. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's good to be back, Brianna. So yes, so there have been five arrests in connection with the murder of three US citizens. Two of them were National Guard soldiers on deployment in Syria. And the third was a civilian, I think, interpreter or contractor. Anyway, what's actually very interesting about this story, about the five people who have supposedly been arrested in connection with these murders, is that the actual perpetrator who was shot dead, so he hasn't been arrested, he's dead. It turns out that actually he was under investigation by the Syrian Interior Ministry at the time he committed the attack. So if you scroll down midway through the story, I explain a little bit about this. So he was actually suspected of being an extremist. I think he was a member of the Syrian security forces, and he was being audited, examined, interrogated, whatever. They thought that he was affiliated with Islamic State, and then he goes and he shoots up a U.S. patrol and kills three U.S. citizens. So a lot of questions, I think, to be asked. And, you know, Donald Trump has said, we're going to retaliate. We're going to hit Syria hard. We're going to hit ISIS hard. And so, of course, there's the possibility maybe of some kind of deepening involvement in Syria, although I suspect it will probably just be something like airstrikes. I mean, hopefully that's what it will be, rather than, you know, some kind of deeper entanglement in a region of the world that actually, you know, has already cost so much American blood, so much American treasure, you know, taken up decades and decades, the global war on terror in particular. So this is a developing story, but it's taken an interesting turn.
Yeah, no, it is taking an interesting turn, and this is one that we're going to have to follow closely. You know, President Trump saying that he's going to respond to all of this. We haven't yet seen that response, but we look forward to it because, again, these three Americans did not deserve what happened to them, of course. And a lot of people are still scratching their heads wondering why we're in Syria in the first place. I know we've tried to cover that extensively as to why we're still there. President Trump being the one to lead the way and making sure that we get our people out, of course. So that is very interesting. I also want to go to this story as well that you've just recently published over on Infowars.com as well. This one being about a watchdog group finding out that nine U.S. banks engage in political debanking. Now, last week, I actually played a clip from the CEO of JP Morgan Chase, and he claimed that they are debanking people not based on politics, but based on federal laws. And that's the reason why they're having to debank these individuals. Even Trump media was debanked, and I know Florida AG is investigating that as well right now. But tell us a little bit about this story, because this is very, very fascinating.
Yeah, so Donald Trump passed an executive order at the beginning of August guaranteeing fair banking for all Americans, I think was the title. And he wanted to shine a light on banks' debanking processes, because it was very clear. You know, I mean, there have been so many stories of Americans, and particularly Americans of a certain stripe, i.e. Republicans, right-wingers, people involved with certain industries, businesses, particular kinds of businesses, firearms businesses, for example, being debanked. And so Trump wanted to get to the bottom of this, and he issued this executive order. And now there's a preliminary report that has just been released that says that nine of America's most important banks, nine of America's biggest banks, including Bank of America, have been engaging in debanking, and it's not, and that it's not according to federal law, that they've been targeting particular kinds of individuals and particular kinds of businesses, including right wingers, conservative groups, the firearm industry, etc. So debanking is real, and this is the first, I think, real tangible proof, a real proper investigation that shows that it's not just anecdotal anymore. This is actually a real thing that's been going on, and of course it's unacceptable, and of course something needs to be done about it, because we know debanking is one of the main ways in which conservatives in particular, not only in the US, but also actually throughout the rest of the Western world. So Nigel Farage, for example, in Britain, leader of Reform, he was debanked recently and then rebanked when there was an outcry about it. But this is one of the major ways that conservatives are unpersoned in the Western world and in the US. This is a way to punish people for being conservative, for thinking freely, for engaging in business that doesn't fit particular agendas, left-wing agendas. So, I mean, this is important stuff. This is important stuff. But I think there needs to be, when the final report comes and when we know the full extent of this, I think there need to be robust measures put in place actually to prevent banks ever from doing this again.
Yeah. Yeah. That needs to happen. And I know, when I was alluding to in the beginning of all of this, JP Morgan, Jamie Dimon was saying, blaming the federal government, saying it happens on both sides, that both sides participate in this and they force our hands, and that the federal regulations are what needs to be changed. And it has nothing to do with what we're doing personally. But again, they didn't really provide any type of backup on that front. We only know of conservatives. I still to this day have not heard of any liberal organizations being defunded or debanked by any of these big banks. And so, yeah, I would say this is a one-way type of thing that's going on right now. I want to thank you, of course, for joining me as always, Rog Nationalist. You do a great job over at Infowars.com, as you always do. And you've also got a book out right now. So I'd remind our audience to head on over right now to Amazon and give it a look. The Last Man. It's liberalism and the death of masculinity right now. You've done an incredible job at that. And you also give really good on X, really good health advice, food advice too. So head on over there and give him a follow as well. Thank you, my friend, for joining me. I know yesterday you had a bit of power issues. We're glad the power is back on. It's that time of year though, of course, when this happens. So thank you, my friend.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
All right, folks, I want to turn to what appears to be a terror attack. We've just received some footage that's being posted right now on X. So we'll tread lightly in all of this, but it looks like at least two people have been killed in Taiwan. Take a look at the footage, because this is an individual who's pulling out a massive, massive blade. And gosh, the whole time when I'm watching this video, I'm wondering why these cars aren't plowing through him when they see this, because they could have possibly saved these people's lives. But it looks like this individual was going around, and it appears, if you take a look at the footage, he pulls out a knife from his bag. Again, we don't have much in the way of information on all of this. You just see people kind of scattering, running around when they realize what he's doing. And he just goes on to stabbing individuals. Now, we know so far, according to reports, two people have been killed. Six people were injured. I mean, look at this. Whew. And sadly, none of these cars plow into him as he goes into the store. Again, we're learning more and more about this, but apparently this happens after he throws a smoke grenade as well into a Taiwan metro station. And this just happening earlier today as well. Again, we're following all of this. A smoke grenade apparently went inside the metro station, they're saying. There's at least two fatalities confirmed so far. The assailant is a 27-year-old man. His last name is just Chang. They haven't released, I believe, his first name yet. I don't know how they operate in Taiwan, but apparently they have not released all of the information. The attacker also died during the incident after falling from a rooftop while being confronted by police. That's according to the United Daily News. So we're keeping our eyes on this, but how devastating. That footage is just heartbreaking. You see the man pull out a massive, massive knife and then walks into a crowd and just starts slashing people. Doesn't appear to be that he had a target in all of this, and that he runs into, obviously, an enclosed building. And then that's where the attack continued on. Devastating, and it's heartbreaking to see that. And no one plowed. I mean, I guess it takes probably a while for you to think about what the heck is this guy doing with a knife. But absolutely devastating to see. All right, we're taking your calls, of course, 877-789-2539. We'll take that for about 10 minutes here. Let's start it off with Tim in California. Tim, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna. Thank you for taking my call.
Always a pleasure. Yeah, how are you?
Well, thank you. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you.
Okay, you need some zinc, but it's okay. Okay, here's the story. The Palisades fire started in avoidance area where firefighting was restricted. Wait a minute. Where on earth would you restrict firefighting? Well, only in California, because apparently they had to save a plant. There's a little plant on the ground, and, well, it'd be better that 7,000 structures burn down and 12 people lose their lives just in that one fire rather than lose the little plant, the little astragalus or whatever it's called. And it kind of reminds me of how every year, Donald Trump recently learned of this. I've heard him speak about it twice, so he knows about it. But we've suffered with this for dozens of years, where they take all the snow melt from Canada, Washington State, Oregon's coming down through Northern California, all the snow melt. We could really use it. And all the farmers in the Central Valley, where we grow all the food for America and much of the world, they just divert it straight into the ocean. They take that fresh water and they divert it into the ocean. Why on earth would they do that? Well, it's because they want to save the Delta smelt, a little fish about the size of a minnow or a sardine that you could hold in your palm of your hand. But the point is, they do that same thing with the water. They're going to tell you, oh, for the sake of a fish, all these people that need this water can't have it, so we can control it. And I suppose they're doing the same thing with fire avoidance and stuff, as, hey, we ran our things dry, and, oh, gee, we don't have enough people on duty, and the people that are in charge are just not really competent. And you get the idea. And now we find out that they couldn't do nothing on account of, well, we wanted not to save the fish in this case. No, we wanted to save a plant. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the latest on that, too, by the way? Oh, I remember when Gavin Newsom
I got one more. I wanted to add one more point to that. Gavin Newsom with trying to find his ass with both hands. I'm sorry, didn't mean to say it twice. But that guy, he said it state had nothing to do with it. As it turns out, yeah, this is part of the state park system or whatever. It is the state that was telling all the firefighters, hey, pack up your hoses and beat it. It was the state.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's absolutely devastating.
I mean,
wait, hold on. Before you, Tim, what's the latest on Gavin Newsom trying to sell off that land? Wasn't he trying to build affordable housing on that? Is that still greenlit?
And proof of that is even though everybody was there with President Trump and his wife Melania sitting right next to him when he showed up right after the fires, and he said, I want these permits issued like pronto quick, no messing around. You guys don't drag your feet and don't. And guess what? Just now they're showing, hey, like the very first person got their very first home built, but it was already permitted before the fires. And so they're trying to put that out on TV and stuff. Now they're showing that what's happening in actual fact is the 1 year of forbearance on the mortgages is now running out. Like in a couple of weeks, it runs out. So you got all these lots. Some of them are vacant. Some aren't vacant. Some of them still have to be scraped. And the ones that they got to deal with, the problem is they're full of, you know, asbestos and all this stuff. They got to be, you know. So now they want the Army Corps of Engineers to be the only people that can come in and do it. And, of course, they just put a lien against your property. It's almost like Superfund sites when they would have big disastrous pollution things happen or whatever, you know. But just – if you really watch it the way you're saying, it almost becomes obvious. It must have been like a grab, almost like Hawaii, eh?
Yeah, that's where I was going with this, my friend. Tim, thanks for calling. We always appreciate the California update. You're like our unofficial California reporter, giving us the very latest in the land grabs and so much more in California. So, Tim, thank you for calling. We appreciate your time. Let's turn to Duck in Chicago. Duck, welcome to the show.
Hey, Brianna. Great show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to reach out from like an intelligence perspective on the Epstein list, okay? So Epstein, whoever he was working with, Mossad, whatever, had some blackmail material against some pretty powerful people. So now if that intelligence has come over to the United States intelligence agencies, why would we want to give up that leverage? And are we pushing this Epstein list? I understand pedophiles are involved, and it's a dirty, nasty thing. But, you know, from an intelligence perspective, does it not make sense to keep it under the intelligence wraps from the American perspective so that we can leverage that intelligence against the individuals who have been caught in the act of pedophilia in this such manner?
Yeah, well, I'd say that's probably the reason why they're not going to release anything that's what you really want to know about.
So,
I mean, I think it's going to be heavily redacted and a lot of stuff pulled back.
Why are we pushing this?
What? Why are we covering the news? Sorry, there's a fly here.
No, I'm sorry. I just, you know, I mean, it's like we're being led carrot, you know, on a string by the mainstream media, and maybe we shouldn't be following that carrot.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I'm going to always report on what's going on, and obviously I'm against pedophilia, so I'm always going to be calling for all of it to be released. Whether they do so or not is on them. On my end, though, I will always make sure that we're openly advocating for it. I mean, the American people have a right to know. Now, I get it that you think from the intelligence agency, they're not going to give it to us. And I say that. Even in fact, when I was delivering my information regarding Epstein, I said any of the information that we were going to want to see probably will never be released. Either deleted or it's been taken by the last regime. I believe that was exactly how I worded it. So, you know, I'm going to keep pushing for all of the information to come out. But we know the games they play. We know they're not going to want all that information from coming out. They're going to do their very best to suppress the information from coming out. You know, like you said, this was an intelligence, obviously, issue here, or it's going to be an intelligence issue here, and they're going to want to hold back a lot of it. So, yeah, I mean, we're going to still keep pushing it. I'm not going to ignore it. I'm not going to not talk about it. We need to talk about it. We're also, like I said, in the open, too, as well. Democrats were only pushing for it because it was politically, their advantage was to push for it politically. They never did for the last 4 years. And so we give you both sides of the argument, and I believe that our audience is intelligent enough to decide for themselves when we do just that. So, Duck, thank you for calling in. We appreciate your time. Let's turn to the cheesy one in Wisconsin, my friend. Welcome back.
Hey, first I wanted to mention, more people who are listeners make purchases at the store because of all the legal attacks. The CJ, the radio DJ call guy operator I just spoke to said he's not getting and the crew's not getting big bonuses this year. So it'd be nice if you guys get a big bonus. So then secondarily, I wish a couple times you repeat yourself a little more just to drive a point. You know, I like repetition.
Don't make me laugh.
Sorry.
That's funny.
But I really wanted to talk to you in particular, Brianna, about an issue about men in the West and in America and Europe being like demasculated and like not masculine and also like cucked by the government. And I think women have a big role in that. Like the women need to force their men to like stand up, kind of like how Jones talks about, Sparta and either showing up with your shield or on it. And one of the things I was wondering if you could do, because Nick Fuentes was on earlier this week and spoke to Jones about finding him a girlfriend. And I'm worried that if Jones finds him a girlfriend, it'll be some like goth chick. And then we'll have like a Fourth Reich or I don't know, something will happen with Fuentes. I was wondering if you could play matchmaker for Fuentes and help him find help us find him a nice girl. I think it'd be an interesting case study. Maybe he'll stop being so mad at the Jews. Maybe he'll be even more mad at the Jews. You know, who knows, but I was wondering if you could help us with that, find him some nice girl, you know, maybe some girl that has some experience that he can kind of enter manhood. Because after watching the Piers Morgan debate, he got pretty grilled by Piers Morgan about, as he said, he was not an incel, a volcel, a voluntary celibate.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's the thing, right? I mean, so we could ask if Nick Fuentes is interested in us trying to find him a date. I'll have Matt reach out. Maybe we can make an email account or women could submit their applications. I'm sure he's getting flooded with them, though. I mean, that guy has blown up over the last few years now. Everyone's watching him, and I think women, they like a man who pushes back. I don't think he's going to ask or he's going to want to listen to my dating advice. As many of you guys know, he's not a fan of listening to women. I don't hate him for it, though. I think Nick Fuentes is very funny. I think when you listen to him, and I laugh at a lot of his stuff. I think he's got incredible clips when it comes to women and his dating perspective. So yeah, mm-hmm. If Nick Fuentes wants to maybe we do it for Valentine's Day, guys. Maybe we do like a little contest on who wants to win a date with Nick Fuentes. We get Matt. Oh, look at all those ladies.
What do you think would be his type?
I don't know. We should ask him, though. We should ask him. Probably not Jewish. I think it's actually one of my favorite clips of Nick Fuentes when he's talking about his future wife and he's like, I just want to make sure that she, or no, I don't think that she's going to speak English or can speak English because I just don't want to hear her talk. So probably someone who doesn't speak English. I talk a lot, maybe so it wouldn't reserved, be me.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe another reserve type, you know, maybe he needs some like super trad, traditional style wife, or I don't know if he, or girlfriend, you know, maybe he needs like a slut girlfriend a little bit, you know, help him out. But, you know, I think it would be interesting case study and, you know, we could live stream the date, you know, I think it would be great. Maybe Jones knows somebody too, you know, it could be like a, how you said, a raffle or something. I don't know. He just seems like he's mad all the time. And I think it can make, I think he's hilarious too. He has great clips and I like his show. He has hot takes. And I like they attack him personally, but they don't attack his content, you know, and say he's wrong, you know, because he does have some very good points.
Yeah.
And I just think that it's very important for behind, you know, the saying, behind every great man is a great woman.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, maybe we could do that for Valentine's Day. We'll reach out to Nick Fuentes and see if he's interested in maybe we get Alex Jones to hook him up on a good date. We'll see. I think Alex was thinking about it too. He was pausing in his response to him. I think he was pondering these single ladies in his phone book these days. So we'll ask. Maybe we'll get it going. Thank you for that one. Thank you for that advice. We'll see how that goes. All right, guys. So we're all out of time on calls. I want to appreciate and thank everyone who's called in and is on hold. Sorry about that. We always try our best to get to everyone. We'll do just that again next week, of course. But in the meantime, we've got a lot more underway. Drew Hernandez joining the show, as well as my girl Mel Kay. A lot to talk about the dangers of AI and so much more. In the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. We just launched the Ultimate Power Powder. When you buy 3 bottles, you get 30% off. The more you buy, the more you save. And you got to check this one out over at thealexjonesstore.com.
Remember, you fund this operation. I'm very thankful to you, and I'm challenging you, those that have supported and love the products, and those that have never gotten the products, to do your Christmas shopping with us. If you get your orders in by Friday, you're guaranteed to get it way before Christmas anywhere in the United States. Okay, because we ship out like a day after the orders come in, and most of the country gets it in 2 days. The rest 3, Hawaii or Alaska, I think it's like 4. So get your orders in now. The biggest sale so far, 60% off on the Ultramethylene Blue, on the Shilajit, on the Irish Sea Moss, incredible super nutrient compounds that just blow you away. You owe it to yourself to get it. Our information's strong. You know that. The products are just as strong and just as powerful. I'm challenging you to support the broadcast. Those of you who have never gotten a supplement, go to thealexjonesstore.com. Make the decision now. Get our Ultramethylene Blue. Get our Shilajit. Get our bovine colostrum. It's amazing. Experience it, and you're going to be hooked. And then we can continue on the air in a symbiotic relationship. But I need your help. Give yourself the gift of great health, clarity, and focus, and keeping powerful beacon of truth on the air, a 360 total win-win at thealexjonesstore.com. We also have limited edition fundraiser posters to keep us on the air at InfoWarsStore.com. I can't do this without you. You're not key. You're everything.
Well, hello there, InfoWarriors. We are having a 60% off sale on selected items. Take a look behind me. We have the sea moss and Shilajit gummies. And you know, we have the medical grade methylene blue that will light your ass up like a Christmas tree. You can also buy one of me in the store. Act now while supplies last.
Christmas music playing here, Christmas themed. As we count down the days till Christmas, how many days do we have left, guys? Someone's got a count. It's going back there somewhere, some way. How many? Six days until Christmas. So we got that going for us. Welcome back to the show. We're getting ready to kick off the third hour of the program. Time really flies when you're having fun. I don't know if you guys saw this. President Trump taking some time aside to reclassify marijuana. Trump signing an executive order yesterday, which shifts cannabis from schedule. I don't even know what that, what's the rumor? I don't even know what that means.
So interestingly enough, yesterday Trump signed an executive order, which shifts cannabis from schedule one to schedule three. Which does a lot of things, right? A lot of people who are advocates and people who are against marijuana, they lack the research, right, for their claims. And so because it was a Schedule One drug, no one was willing to put money forth to do research on marijuana. It was extremely prohibitive. So it still needs to be finalized by the DEA. But it's interesting because this does a lot for people who've been convicted of crimes, you know, possessing marijuana. So outside of people, you know, using it, it's got other downstream effects, I think.
Interesting. I don't know how I feel about this, though. I have to say, you know, we're in the middle of a drug war, however you want to phrase it. Obviously, it's more focused on fentanyl. Between the United States, Venezuela, and every other country in the region. And so I don't know. Not really a fan of this one. But President Trump obviously making this a priority. I was watching on X yesterday. There was a joke that was circulating around that saying that President Trump is the blackest president we've ever had, mainly because of that move yesterday. He's also has pardoned several rappers, and he's got three babies' mamas. So, that one just dropping yesterday. All right. We got a lot more. We got our eyes on folks. Drew Hernandez joining the show in just a little bit. As I've detailed for you, we gave you the update regarding the Brown University shooter. Obviously they're saying now has ties to and was the one behind the MIT professor being killed. Chrissy Noem, though, after the shooting, apparently she immediately responded by saying that Immigration Services is going to pause the DV-1 program to ensure that no more Americans are harmed by this program itself now. It's interesting to talk about this one because, again, this is a non-U.S. citizen who made his way into the United States. Apparently this is happening back in 2017. They refer to it as a diversity lottery immigrants visa program. It doesn't really feel like a lottery, though. Many of you guys know President Trump put an end to this, fought to end it back in 2017. I don't know. It's just a train wreck, guys. I don't know how else to describe this stuff. We're getting to the point where the logical theory here is just to stop immigration altogether. Drew Hernandez will join us, though, in a little bit to discuss that. Plus, when you go through all the fraud that we've recently uncovered from all of these migrants, illegal aliens, however you want to phrase it, there's billions and billions of dollars. But most recently, we're uncovering a lot more in regards to that Haitians now being caught up into this. Apparently, there's a massive SNAP fraud scandal that just broke. We'll give you the latest on that in just a moment. Plus, Mel Kay will join us. I got questions for her about AI. President Trump signing an executive order to prevent and tie up states from being able to regulate AI. Specifically, she'll go into detail about that and how it gives the federal government all the power. A lot of people are throwing up red flags here, so we'll discuss that in a bit. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We just launched the Ultimate Power Powder. If you're looking to increase your energy, your focus, blood flow, or endurance, this is the formula for you over at thealexjonesstore.com. When you buy 3 bottles, you get 30% off. The more you buy, the more you save, of course. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
Whoa, dude, is that methylene blue? This house really knows me.
Oh, wow, Shilla Jeet gummies. I gotta hide these from Melania. She loved them bigly. These sure taste great, and they're good for me, too. You can buy me now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Well, hello there, Info Warriors. We are having a 60% off sale on selected items. Take a look behind me. We have the sea moss and Shilajit gummies. And you know, we have the medical grade methylene blue that will light your ass up like a Christmas tree. You can also buy one of me in the store. Act now while supplies last.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
All right, we're back. Welcome to the third hour of the show. We got a lot more to discuss, a lot more to dive into. As many of you guys know, we were discussing at the open of the program in regard to that Brown University shooter. Now, according to officials, he is also the man behind the MIT professor, that scientist, that nuclear scientist being murdered. And so we're learning more and more about this individual. Now, again, we haven't seen any surveillance footage from inside Brown University still. We play the clips for you, Brown University presidents being very dismissive about it, saying that the lack of security footage, by lack, it's playing nice. There's absolutely nothing that they've released. They don't really see it as like a significant issue, even though this is a foreign-born individual. And according to the Patriot Act, if you're not a U.S. citizen to come in and out of this country, we would have to take your biometrics. This person's biometrics would have been obtained and stored by the federal government. If they had that footage, clear footage, maybe they could have ran his biometrics through the federal database, found out who he was, and it maybe would have had them arrest him a little bit faster rather than days. Again, he wasn't arrested. He actually, the coward he was, blew his brains out. It's according to reports. Again, suicide. Convenient, isn't it? But now the DHS secretary is coming out, and she's also detailing, and she actually was very quick on this one. According to her, that this individual entered the United States through our diversity lottery immigrant visa program. Doesn't really feel like a lottery, though. And then he was granted a green card, apparently, from all of this. Now, this is something that President Trump in his first term was fighting and pushing back against, obviously, after there was an ISIS terrorist in the New York truck ramming incident that took place, that also ended up getting in from the DV-1 program. He murdered 8 people. Now, again, she is advising our U.S. Immigration Services to pause DV-1 program to ensure that no more Americans are harmed by this, obviously, disastrous program. Joining me to discuss all of this, plus more, is Drew Hernandez. He's the host of the Drew Hernandez Live Show. He's an investigative reporter, commentator as well. You can find him on X, Drew H Live. Drew, I want to thank you for being here. This is a lot to dive into, obviously. And I'm not really buying, and we could go over this in just a bit, the narrative that they're putting out there, the local police are putting out there. But first, I want to get your take on this. You know, the DHS secretary jumped on this really, really quickly, saying that this individual got into our country through that lottery immigration program, which is not a lottery at all, considering the type of scumbags that's brought into the United States. But now she's putting a pause on that, which I'm sure the left will push back on. Your reaction to just what DHS Secretary Kristi Noem has done thus far after learning this news?
Yeah, well, good morning. Thanks for having me, Brianna. I just think the entire fiasco, I think MAGA's kind of split on it, mm-hmm. as they're split on a lot of things. Immediately, you had a lot of people coming out on X and saying, well, obviously this is a fiasco. The DEI police chief, the guy can't even speak English. He's all over the place. He can't get his story straight. Even last night, I was listening to the press conference when they were announcing that they caught him. They got him. And it's like always, it ends in a suicide. So there could be no interrogation, no real questioning going on. How convenient. But it was interesting because in the press conference last night, not sure if you listened to it, but this DEI police chief, whoever this guy is that can't even speak English, was attempting to communicate that this was the person of interest from the very beginning. It was released and it led to the ultimate capture and the way things ended last night. But I found that to be very contradicting because they had another person of interest and it was the wrong person. And even Kash Patel came out, as always, and tries to take credit for everything. It's just interesting how some of these MAGA cheerleaders on X don't know what to do. They're all over the place. Anytime something appears to be good happening, Kash Patel will run in if the FBI is involved, take credit for it. But then it's a massive mistake. It's the wrong guy. And then it just becomes a fiasco or a circus. But then the guy gets, you know, caught and it's a suicide. And then it's credit to the good work of the FBI and it's credit to the good work of the feds that actually stepped in and got down to the bottom of it because the DEI, the university leadership was obviously engaging in some kind. This is my opinion. It appears to be some kind of cover up. So the trust is all over the place. I think the trust has been shot for a very long time. And just contradiction after contradiction, inconsistencies really doesn't help build any trust between the American people and any law enforcement or institution. And that just seems to keep happening. And it's a 48-year-old Howard University student. The guy apparently attended Howard University in the early 2000s and just somehow made a comeback. But here's what's also interesting, Brianna, is we did have Israeli media that was attempting to claim that the shooter of the MIT professor was the same shooter or directly connected. And we're hearing that from the feds as well, that that is a possible connection and even local law enforcement, that it's the same shooter, MIT, Brown University. But Israeli media was attempting to say that it was an Iranian hit. These were Israeli officials. And so, you know, I pay attention to the reaction of things as well. And I've learned this from Alex Jones too, is, you know, you just kind of see things unfold and pay attention to the reaction of governments, world leaders, officials, and see if they can get their story straight. Are there any contradictions? Are there any inconsistencies? Is there any big push for some kind of crackdown or policy that goes against the free rights of human beings or Americans? And it's just interesting how there always seems to be some kind of injection by Israel or the Zionist that this is Iran yet again, just like they did after Butler, Pennsylvania and J-13. So, you know, it's just those types of things that cause you to sit back and ask questions, but you're not allowed to do that because, you know, that's just bad these days.
Yeah. And Drew, I remember seeing the report too, that Israel was actually investigating whether Iran played a role in this or not. That popped up early this morning. And I was just kind of like, well, why would Israel be leading an investigation? It just seemed really strange. Again, I want to kind of learn more about the professor and all of this, the MIT professor. And there was like a pro-Palestinian angle to this at the very beginning phases of the investigation, something that the college was quickly scrubbing from their website. You know, we reached out for comment actually to understand why they were scrubbing individuals who were named, but according to the school, had no affiliation at all with the murder that took place. And they didn't give us really a detailed response in regards to that. They kind of danced around the issue. But right. You also mentioned something that I think is really important. You know, at the beginning of the presser, we sat there and watched all these federal agents and local PD, I guess the one federal agency and local PD all give themselves pats on the back. They always do this nowadays. They say, oh, we did an incredible job, like they did for the J6 pipe bomber too. We did an incredible job in investigating this. But the reality is, from my understanding, is the MIT professor was killed after the Brown University shooting. And maybe if Brown had the surveillance on its campus that would have captured the images, they would have somehow caught this person before they went out there and killed another person. So I don't know why they're saying that after days of investigating this, that this is somehow a great investigation. I mean, there were so many missteps. In fact, local PD blaming the FBI for that first person that was captured, that wasn't a suspect at all. And then we saw President Trump tweeting, or Truth Social posts, saying that they captured the suspect. He was under arrest. and then quickly had to revise that. That sounded like to me yet again that the FBI director probably told him that this person was captured, even though that wasn't truthful. And the only reason why I'm assuming it's the FBI director is because, well, he's done this time and time again. He was very excited to announce the capture of two individuals and a minor who were apparently plotting a ISIS-inspired terror attack. Just a couple of weeks ago, he jumped the gun on that one before four of the other suspects were even arrested and before the criminal complaint was even filed. He posted about that because he was under obviously attack for a very controversial move to use the jet for his personal leisure. So it kind of feel like he was deflecting there. He's done this multiple times. So even the Charlie Kirk assassination, he said that there was a suspect that was arrested that wasn't actually a suspect at all. So he jumps the gun on a lot of this. And so, you know, you just highlighted it, and I guess I could kind of let you kind of carry it away from here, though. But you highlighted how, again, he jumped on board with this and took it as if this was one of their accomplishments for the agency to capture this individual. But again, you know, their spokesperson, Ben Williamson, who's a great individual and nothing against him, but he, the day before, put out a statement saying that the FBI is not leading in this investigation, that they're just kind of playing an assistant role in all of this. But now all of a sudden they're claiming victory here as if they really were the ones to help out majorly in all of this. I mean, what's your thoughts about how the FBI's handled all of these scandals over these last few weeks?
I think maybe Kash Patel should stop going on Boss Girl podcast with his girlfriend.
Yeah. Well,
maybe he should stop wasting his time on a bunch of BS, giggling and smiling on these stupid podcasts that are meaningless. Nobody cares, dude. Nobody cares. Literally nobody cares out here about your relationship. You know, good for you. No hate against them.
Yeah.
But the American people did not vote for a new FBI director, you know, via the president making appointments, right? The American people did not vote for, you know, a new administration that had a new FBI director that was busy going on Boss Girl podcasts, giggling with his girlfriend with a Valley Girl accent like he's from California or something. Yeah. I'm from California, so I can identify this immediately. Maybe he should stop wasting his time. Maybe. I don't think it's a good sign Dan Bongino's leaving the FBI as well.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I know you've been attempting, just like everybody else, to get some info as to, you know, pinning down the reasons exactly why. Could be some, you know, potential health issues, family issues, wanting to get back to family. Or maybe he sees how compromised everything is. I mean, obviously, you know, Dan Bongino as well had some major, major, major blowouts attempting to tell the world that Epstein killed himself. Trust me, bro. I've seen the tape that was left behind for you to see. Yeah. I just think that's not really a good sign. I think if Bongino's tapping out, you got to ask yourself why. What the hell is going on at that FBI? You know, they could all try and show face and be cordial, which is fine, and try to make it look like it's all being held together when it's obviously not. The American people are not stupid. And that's where this administration is making a major misstep. Major misstep. The gaslighting, treating people like they're stupid, treating people like they're not seeing what they're seeing, they're not hearing what they're hearing, these massive mistakes. And it's like we're returning back to the Bush era of the GOP Republican politics, you know, early 2000s, decades before. And this administration has engaged in that, and it's pissing people off. It's really pissing people off, especially a lot of people that have been OG MAGA from the beginning, because a lot of people were expecting a lot more accountability and a better performance. But back to Kash Patel, you know, Dan Bongino leaving the FBI, I just wonder, like, are we in a golden age or are we not? Like, wouldn't it be better for Dan Bongino to remain in the FBI, to continue to crack down on the deep state and go after the Adam Schiffs and the Hillary Clintons and all of these deep state villainous satanic operatives of the world? I would say I would rather have Dan Bongino in a capacity like that as well. I think that him leaving the FBI is kind of telling, to be completely honest with you. But back to Kash Patel again, I think he should stop wasting his time. Stop wasting my time, Kash. Stop wasting my money. Okay, you work for me. Kash Patel works for me. He works for you. He works for the American people. Don't ever forget that. I don't care who you are and how high you think you are on your high horse. You work for me. You work for the American people. And the moment you turn on that, and the moment you start to pull the mask off and people start to see that you think it's the opposite, the moment we begin to realize very quickly just exactly who you really are. And I think a lot of people, the American people, especially in MAGA, are starting to see that. And these mistakes, these are, you know, are these intentional mistakes? Is he incompetent? Is this being done on purpose? I mean, the Charlie Kirk thing is just a clear example of that, right? I mean, and see, but that's the thing, Brianna, is like, we get gaslit. I know you probably get a lot of this too, is like, okay, well, you're allowed to believe Tyler Robinson is the one that murdered Charlie Kirk, the only one. You can't look outside of anything. You can't look outside of that, nowhere else. It's just him. That's what you can believe. That's what you can declare. He is guilty. There's no innocence. But if you go outside of that, there's something wrong with you. Mm-hmm. You go outside of that, you're a conspiracy theorist. You go outside of that, you're a schizophrenic. You go outside of that, well, you're not rational. But it's interesting because when you get to the Howard University situation, oh, now all of a sudden we're allowed to not believe the official narrative. Why? Because of inconsistencies, whether it's incompetence or whether it's intentional. Obviously something is wrong here. So it's just interesting how there's this back and forth. There's this back and forth where you have to believe the official narrative on one thing, but when it comes to the other situation, okay, we can ask some questions. And that's what's pissing people too off, because you have a lot of MAGA cheerleaders out here all over social media. I don't know what their interest is. Maybe they're afraid of losing access to the White House or Mar-a-Lago, which is pathetic, that are unwilling to be consistent on these things. And the American people at home, they're just kind of sitting back watching this. And they're just shaking their heads and saying, I didn't vote for this. I didn't vote for this at all. I voted for a serious crackdown and serious accountability into the future. And they've had about a year, and I don't think we're anywhere near where we need to be.
Yeah, and Drew, just to kind of, you know, piggyback on what you just said, the attacks that are taking place, though. Okay, so let's talk about, like, how if you don't go with the narrative, the pro-Trump narrative right now, you get attacked. I mean, I will put out stories that I know are factually true because they're heavily sourced with those who are close to the sources itself, and then I get attacked on social media quite often. Cat Turd obviously publicly coming after me when he didn't like one of my reports, which is just funny given the fact that his Twitter name is Cat Turd, I know, but these people are very aggressive at going after you if you dispute anything. You know, I also called in the other day to Harrison Smith's show here on InfoWars, and I've got a lot of connections with the FBI and those closely sourced with Dan Bongino, and I gave a report, and their unofficial spokeswoman, Julie Kelly, actually came after us yesterday for my report, which clearly cites personal issues, right? Because he wasn't supposed to leave the agency this quickly. Obviously, this is very abrupt, and so one's wondering, well, why? And I've been very respectful and just critical of the FBI as a whole. So we give a whole update as to what my sources are telling me. Again, people very close to the situation, as close as one could possibly get. And I believe she called me and Harrison Smith bottom dwellers on X. Now, I joked and won't directly respond to her because she's just a frustrated. Well, I mean, I did. I called her first name and last name out. But I just think these are the kind of people who will go after you and target you if you speak out. If you go against the narrative and they don't like it, maybe you piss off some people at these agencies, they will go and pounce on you so quickly.
Brianna, was this a spokesperson for the FBI or just some MAGA cheerleader on
social Julie
media.
Kelly is supposed to be a journalist. She is close friends. Here's the comment here. She is close friends with Dan, and I know just that. And I've actually had her on my show before. She has my number. If she had a problem with anything that was said during this discussion, she's got my number. She could call. She has chosen not to do so. She also wasn't very happy with me back in the day when she put out a report saying that the raid at Mar-a-Lago was going to be like an execution almost for President Trump. I think I'm probably misquoting her there, but it was very dramatically written, her article on it. And I just publicly, without even going after her, posted the documents to prove that this wasn't exactly what was going on behind the scenes, because I had sources within law enforcement handed the document over to me so we could see it raw and see that it wasn't the case. It's also cited several times in court documents that they had communicated with Secret Service as well, between Secret Service and the FBI. They had communicated prior to the raid at Mar-a-Lago. So again, I didn't back that raid, obviously. That was an awful thing that happened in the first place, and he should be sued, or he should sue them and get all the money that he can from it. But it was just being misrepresented. Long story short, we had drinks planned, and she canceled, and decided to just go bash us online publicly rather than just have a face-to-face conversation. So, this is just someone who, again, who will go after you publicly, if she has a problem with you. I prefer to do things privately, though. People have my number. You could reach out and talk to people. But these are people, Drew, who, just again, it's not just Julie, it's other people out there. If you question the narrative, they pounce on you. The left doesn't do this though, Drew, right? If you put out a story and you're a member of the left, they won't pounce on you. They just let it all fly. They don't turn on each other. Whether they do behind the scenes or not, that's fine. But publicly, they don't go after you. Why do you think that, though, as conservatives, as those who supported the president originally, whenever we offer an ounce of criticism, we're immediately pounced on?
I think it's pretty obvious. Within MAGA, within the right wing, the past 10 years, And Trump has been really used to this because we've been on this ride with him for nearly a decade now where he's constantly attacked. He's constantly slandered. Anything connected to him, whether it's his business or his administration or his family, he's constantly under fire, right?
Yeah.
And we've always been there to support the president. Because every time there's this type of assault, right? Russiagate, the Ukraine phone call, the impeachment hoaxes, all of that, the indictments, the witch hunts, the lawfare, all of it. MAGA has always stood by President Trump's side, as they should be. When there's something like that happening, because he resembled that freedom, that voice. That's what the silent majority term meant from the very beginning, 10 years ago. He was that voice. He was that the pinnacle of where America really wanted to go and what America really wanted to say. So when that was attacked, like Trump has always said, they're not going after me. They're going after you. Right. Mm-hmm. And it was like, they got to get through me to get to you type of thing. And we saw that post January 6th, hunting down the J6ers. So it's been this way for nearly a decade. And I think Trump has been so used to, and the administration or anybody connected to him, and even MAGA is so used to this, is just constantly defending Trump when he obviously needs it and it's appropriate. But when there's some serious issues going on and there's some legitimate criticism, because we want change, not because we hate Trump or because we want to throw him, you know, overboard, but because we want to hold him accountable. It just seems like you can't do that right now. It seems like you can't do that anymore, which doesn't make sense to me because I threw the MAGA hat on in 2015 and, you know, fell in love with what Trump was saying and where he wanted to take things. And one of the things that I mainly fell in love with was how it was the era of accountability now. We're going to hold people accountable. And Trump included himself in that conversation. But now you have all these shills and you have these people at the White House and you have all these people in these press corps and you have all these, you know exactly what I'm talking about, Brianna. You have these people that are just unwilling to legitimately criticize this administration, this president when it's necessary because we want what we voted for. We want accountability. There's nothing wrong with that. That's American. But you get gaslit. You get called a panican. You get called a traitor. You're not truly MAGA. So I think a lot of these people are so used to, that's their default, to just be loyal to President Trump and defend him no matter what, even if it's not rational and it doesn't make sense and they're hypocritical, even if it's just a legitimate criticism, that's backfiring on them because it's creating this kind of new elitist mentality. Like that tweet right there that you guys put up, that woman that responded to you.
Yeah.
What did she say? A bottom feeder?
Yeah, she called us bottom feeders or bottom dwellers.
You're just a peasant. You're a peasant, Brianna. Yeah. You're a peasant. Anybody asking questions, you're a peasant, okay? We're in our high tower, and you're just a bottom dweller. That's what you are for asking questions. And it's like, okay, here we are, back to square one, 10 years ago, where, you know, obviously we were the bottom dwellers. We were the basket of deplorables. We were the ones, you know, that's Hillary Clinton mentality.
Mm-hmm.
But the mentality is the uniparty. It's just simply, we're the elites, you're the peasants, stop asking questions and just fall in line. And that's not going to fly. It's really not going to fly. And I think this is kind of indicating the close of the MAGA era. Trump's going to be done in 3 years. And like I told Alex Jones a couple weeks ago on his show is, you know, I don't think this is necessarily about throwing Trump overboard or, you know, doing away with Trump. He's going to be in for the next 3 years. I pray he does the best he possibly can for the sake and the good of this country, but it really is time to move on. It really is. I think it's time to move on. It's time to re-strategize. It's time to mobilize because a lot of young people, you know, maybe the boomers don't understand this because that generation is going to be up in maybe 15, 20 years max. But you and I, Brianna, by God's grace, if he gives us this time in life and Christ doesn't return, we're going to be here for like the next 50 years. Trump is not. So it really is time. And that's not disrespect. That's just being real. I'm a realist, dude. So
yeah.
I think that's where we're at. You know, I think instead of just wasting time, I'm not saying you're doing this. I'm just saying like collectively as we think this thing through, instead of just constantly, you know, having to make Trump look good and make sure the administration doesn't look bad. It's like call balls and strikes. This is how it should be. But I think we really got to start thinking about what this looks like for the future for the next 20 years, 50 years.
We really do. Drew Hernandez, thank you for joining me today. Of course, we appreciate you jumping on the show. Give him a follow on X. Drew H. Live right now. Head over there and do just that. All right, guys. Mel Kay's up next. Don't go anywhere. Thanks to Drew for joining me. Mel's going to dive into the AI issues. There's a lot more to discuss in just a bit.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, this was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there. The shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning. Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all here. Of course, a lot going on all around the world. We're catching you up on. I wanted to kind of bring it back to this insane video that we talked about earlier in Taiwan. Multiple people injured. Looks like the number has gone up. Three people have been killed, including the attacker who decided to begin just stabbing people randomly in Taiwan. Now, this is strange given the fact that it's Taiwan. And we have the actual video of this person pulling the knife out of his bag and then running up to a crowd of people, as you see here in this footage. And he just starts stabbing them. Sadly, two people were killed. The third is obviously this individual. He fell off a roof, it looks like. He made his way into the metro and continued to stab people. Nine people in total have been wounded. We don't know motive yet. His name is, he's 27-year-old Chen Wen. He apparently also threw a smoke grenade nearby under an underground exit. Now, again, we don't know motive. This is in Taiwan, so that's what's just so strange. Local hospitals reported these three deaths, of course, and these nine people who have been injured. We are still waiting for more information as it trickles out, but the footage is just completely disturbing. And so we'll keep bringing those updates as it continues. As we opened up the show earlier today with, we detailed specifically how the Brown University and the MIT shooter were all connected. Now, we had Drew Hernandez on just a few moments ago, and he did also discuss how Israel is claiming that there might actually be an Iranian tie to all of this. Again, the individual was a Portuguese national. He was in our country due to the lottery system, but there apparently is some type of concern where Israel is stepping in now and is looking to investigate this to see if this was something regarding the Iranian government. So we'll keep you updated on that as we learn more, of course, but I want to switch things up a little bit. The AI threat. As you guys know, President Trump has made it one of the main purposes of his administration to kind of focus on AI. He wants us to be the number one leaders in AI. I don't know about that one, but this is what he's saying. He wants us to be able to be the leaders in AI. Well, the president signed an executive order this week, and it's kind of concerning when you look at it. It limits the state regulations of AI, and it would possibly allow just the federal overrule those regulations is kind of what his EO is going with these days. The governor in Wisconsin, Tony Evers, is warning about this, saying that this would make kids and families in Wisconsin less safe. Joining me to discuss all of this is Mel Kaye, the host of the Mel Kaye Show. She's also the author of Americans Anonymous as well, which is available right now on Amazon. It gives you the power. Take back your government, and she's outlined that for you in Americans Anonymous, which is available right now on Amazon. Mel Kaye joins us now. Mel, thank you for being here. When it comes to AI and this technology movement that's going on right now, I know that you're the one who's been screaming about this for a while, but it looks like President Trump, he's committed to making this a top issue for his administration. He wants to be able to lead the way in this AI battle. What do you make about this EO that he just signed, this executive order, where he is trying to take away the regulations from the state and make it more of a federal regulated industry?
Well, also, you know, he's proposed a tech force also in conjunction with all of the tech companies, of which he met with not too long ago. Mm-hmm. All of this is very disturbing for somebody like me who's been covering the technocratic global governance model that has been pushed on us by the globalists for decades. And this is actually, to me, exactly that same direction. And I'm sorry to say this because people want to believe the best, but there is a global public infrastructure that is already built. It went on steroids to finish it during the first term of the auto pen, and it is almost completely done, and it is interoperable, which means the whole world is on this same global public infrastructure. And who are the partners? All of the partners that Donald Trump is listing as his partners in taking over tech on the world stage. So the disturbing part here is the Constitution and the Bill of Rights essentially have been debatable since the Unconstitutional Patriot Act. But this is a whole new level of that. And this is not being voted on by the people. And the people have no say in this. They don't get to decide. And again, is efficiency and technocracy the route that America wants to take? That is the closest route to totalitarian track and trace surveillance agenda 2030. And yet what we're seeing now is people are lining up to get their eyes scanned. They're giving their handprints. I hear that soon you're going to be charged if you don't have a real ID. all of this is unconstitutional. I don't understand where the Constitution fits in. And as I believe it was Thomas Jefferson, oh no, maybe it was Madison that said those that would give up liberty for security deserve neither. And at this point, the United States of America, maybe we're getting kind of back our physical border, but where's the border in cyberspace at this point? And again, I've talked a lot about the model of stakeholder capitalism, global public-private partnership, all of that. Well, they're all partners of the World Economic Forum, which is right now being run, unfortunately, by Larry Fink, who is also the head of BlackRock that is investing trillions of dollars in U.S. taxpayer money through all the pension funds that he runs through BlackRock into Agenda 2030 in real time, and then Trump pulls him out to join the negotiating in Ukraine. I really don't know what's going on, and then we have the Susie Wiles article that is just a disaster, and they're all acting like it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. So we are being sabotaged, and the American people have no say about anything. And as long as they allow these NGOs that are between the people and the government running our country, subverting the will of the people, and we're talking about tech lobbyists, we're talking about insurance lobbyists, we're talking about foreign government lobbyists, military-industrial lobbyists, all of these NGOs that connect to them, the American people have no say. Why aren't the American people being asked if we want to have a full technocratic track and trace surveillance? They want to train a tech force to make the entire government run on AI and algorithms. Well, if you've ever listened to Noah Harari or anyone else that has talked about this openly on stage at the UN or the World Economic Forum or at the COP conferences, we're walking right into that, and I don't hear anything or anyone talking about the Constitution or the Bill of Rights, let alone Donald Trump was abused for 4 years, really 8 years, but 4 years of lawfare. So what happens when all of this technology gets into the hands of the Democrat Socialist of America? You know, and they don't want two parties. They shouldn't even be allowed to be running for any offices at all because they are technically funded by globalist labor organizations that are against freedom. They're essentially global socialists. But here we have AOC is leading, apparently, for 2028. Democrat Socialist of America, Mamdani, Democrat Socialist of America. So when he transfers all this stuff through J.D. Vance or, God forbid, AOC, and they have this kind of power, what then? What does America look like then? Where's the Constitution or Bill of Rights? He didn't have a Fourth Amendment right. None of us did while Obama was spying on us, then while Hillary Clinton started the whole spy campaign, then when Obama picked it up, then the last 4 years. I mean, America is not a free country right now, and all they're doing is handing over the tools to be less free. Yeah. I don't understand it.
Mel, it's frustrating to sit back and watch because, you know, I say all the time, I feel like at best, all we're doing is we're hitting the pause button on this takeover, but it's much worse than that at this point. It's very obvious that they just don't even care. They don't even, I mean, understand the issue. I mean, that's just kind of me playing nice right now and saying that this is due to ignorance because, like you just mentioned, too, Fourth Amendment rights being violated. You know, we talked about it last time you were on the show. FISA's up for potential renewal soon. We're waiting to see those conversations begin. You want to add to that?
Yeah, where is Rosemary Collier's report on Barack Obama spying on this whole country? You know, I mean, Snowden is in hiding somewhere or is in Russia. We got Assange. They tortured him for 13 years. The truth is America has lost our freedom. We are completely captured. And now, because they want to be the first in the space race or AI, as if they're not 20 years ahead. I mean, this is the big lie of all of tech, is that everything that DARPA, InQtel created, which is basically the internet and all the social media platforms, are still fully infiltrated. They haven't ended the sharing with the Five Eyes nations. Barack Obama and Eric Holder spied on 3 million American citizens that were ideologically unaligned with them. Nobody's ever put out the Collier report. That's a 99-page report on the spying by the Obama administration that was, of course, restarted as soon as Donald Trump won into all of us. The last 4 years, there were 10,000 basically illegal searches into innocent American citizens. The warrantless surveillance 702 has ended any kind of Fourth Amendment or probable cause. I mean, and you know what? They're not thinking long-term in terms of, does the United States of America want to be controlled by algorithms and AI and have no freedom and no say and nobody to address your grievances to. I mean, we're already being, all these January 6 people got put in jail for just showing up at the Capitol. What's going to happen when you have nobody to even talk to and they come and get you? So I think it's very dangerous. They're allowing the Democrat Socialists of America to take over the Democratic Party. And then at the same time, they're also not stopping the illegal situation that is going on with all of the, I believe the violations of our rights, from scanning your eyes and saying they're not keeping them, they're keeping them, scanning your hands, getting every aspect of public service and social security and everything onto an AI algorithm system to put in whose hands. Mm-hmm. And why haven't the American people had a say in this? Because I don't think if the American people fully understood global governance and how this works and that all of this tech is interoperable and we are sharing it with the EU that is full on totalitarian and going into the Fourth Reich. I mean, we are sharing all of our intelligence with the Five Eyes nations that overthrew this country with Barack Obama in 2016. Nobody's been held accountable, and I don't see that happening. And then Susie Wiles goes and does this Vanity Fair article. I've never been so infuriated. And then they all defend her like she's the greatest ever. She just gave them all the lawfare people an out. They are going to destroy us if we don't get our crap together. But I am telling you right now, that Vanity Fair article is disgusting. She exonerated Bill Clinton, and I have talked to victims from 2008 forward. Virginia Gouffray and I were back and forth. Her book, Bill Clinton needs to be held accountable, and Susie Wiles says there's no evidence of him going to Epstein Island. There's 27 trips. He went to Morocco. He went to Africa. All these places with Jeffrey Epstein. He was at the White House dozens of times. And this Susie Wiles does an interview where she says Trump's on a retribution tour. This isn't about Trump. This is about the overthrow of the duly elected president that the United States of America, the people, elected in 2016, and a color revolution by those same people that is still going on. And then this woman goes, does 11 interviews with a hostile Vanity Fair after what happened with Wolf during the first term with Bannon, and then she exonerates Bill Clinton. I mean, I don't understand what is going on, but I know that all of us that sacrificed our lives and our careers and everything else to help, I thought, get some justice, and now we're being undermined at every turn. And Dan Bongino leaving? Well, I hope he comes and tells us what's really going on. But anyone that's acting like that Susie Wiles Vanity Fair article isn't devastating to the cause that we fought for in justice and in Epstein is out of their minds. And to see every single one of those people in that inner circle, including Donald Trump, step up and say that this woman's the best thing that ever happened to America. Oh my God. Well, let's talk to some of the victims of Jeffrey Epstein that have been in the room with and on the plane with Bill Clinton. I mean, she literally said that there was no evidence against Bill Clinton going to the island. That's a total lie. Even the Secret Service went with him. So, I mean, I just don't understand what's going on. And then she says, you know, this is retribution. The crimes weren't against Donald Trump. They were against the people of the United States of America. They were against the voters. The voters have no voice and no vote and haven't in decades. And now we thought maybe we would take back the country, and they're going in the opposite direction, and it's really disturbing.
Well, Mel, let's like hover over the Vanity Fair interview for a second, because she didn't give just one interview. They gave 11 interviews. And that's just mind-blowing to me, given the fact that we know that these publications hate
recorded.
Our gut. Well, that's the other
recorded.
Point. So she's over here
recorded.
Saying, oh, they misrepresented what I said. Okay, well, obviously it's recorded. So likely, because you're trying to discredit this reporter and how they represent the interview you gave, we'll likely get some type of audio recording soon. I truly do hope so, because I'd really like to hear both sides of all of this. Because when you sit back and you read the quotes that were given, I mean, I'm scratching my head wondering, what the heck are, what are you doing? Because again, when you talked about all the key people who are being brought into the White House consistently, the big tech companies, obviously the people that funded, you know, Zuckerbucks and all of these people who were against us, we're all wondering, what the heck is going on here? And then we hear, oh, the gatekeeper is Susie Wiles. Now listen, I've never met the woman, so I don't know who she is personally, but I could tell you, according to people I've spoken to, she was pushed out of Governor Ron DeSantis' team for a reason, and then she made her way into the Trump administration, as you see now. But you're wondering what the heck's happening here. Everyone says she's the gatekeeper. This is her thing. The 11 interviews doesn't really seem to be like an accident. It seems like you probably gave them a couple of bits intentionally at this point. You even called J.D. Vance, who laughed it off and said, yeah, I am a conspiracy theorist.
I mean, it's
but it's not
disgusting.
Okay.
But listen, okay, they did this the first term. Bannon allowed Jeffrey Wolf into the White House for a year. And then he wrote two books and hit pieces. So they do it again with Vanity Fair that we know is 1,000% against Trump. But worse than that, it's people had to have allowed this. And again, all they are doing is putting the focus on maybe Ron DeSantis is a better call. I know people don't want to hear that, but the bottom line at this point is there is full betrayal in the people, at least. You know, I'm very suppressed, censored, banned for life from YouTube, so I'm not a big fish, but I will tell you, my audience is furious about this article, and they are acting like it's a joke, it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. She exonerated Bill Clinton in the article. She said that Donald Trump is wrong, that there's no evidence. I spoke to many people since 2008. Go look at like the work of Whitney Webb or Jason Burmess or any of these people that have been out there. I mean, what a betrayal to Virginia Giuffre. Who is this woman? And what is she doing? It just feels like we're being sabotaged. And at the end of the day, like I said, Americans Anonymous is out there to give people power because the only people you have is in your backyard. And frankly, any idea that they can salvage the FBI after what has gone on since Holder and Obama went in there to totally infiltrate every agency is a joke. Okay. I cannot understand the level of betrayal and that apparently, all of the people at the White House that surround him, including that, the press secretary, don't seem to understand that people put their lives on the line. People went to jail for years for sticking up for Donald Trump, for not turning on him. I was just with another January 6er, Robert Morris. They basically told him, if you say that it's Donald Trump's fault, we'll let you off. And all these people wouldn't. And they went to jail and they had their lives destroyed. They haven't had their lives made right. And frankly, you know, I'm glad that Donald Trump got $24 million from YouTube, but where's my payout from being banned because of questioning the election? And then they say that they have all this election fraud evidence, yet what we're still seeing is that Jack Smith is saying yesterday that he wants to go in the public and show all the evidence that Donald Trump tried to throw over the 2020 election. He walks in and he walks out like he owns the world. Meanwhile, Peter Navarro doesn't go into the fake January 6th committee and gets shackled in the middle of an airport and thrown in jail for 4 months. I mean, where are the raids of the Open Society, of Brookings, of Act Blue, of where are the white collar crimes that are the easiest to prosecute being prosecuted? And all they're going after is the grand conspiracy after Donald Trump and the Mar-a-Lago raid. What about the grand conspiracy to defraud the people of the United States of America by 51 intelligence agents before the 2020 election? That should be a crime. Hello? This is a global conspiracy to overthrow the duly elected president of the United States of America in 2016 that was participated in by the UK, by definitely Australia, UK, CIA, in all these places, Brennan, Clapper, all of them, and Jack Smith strolls in there, acts like he's still going to prove on the world stage that Donald Trump tried to overthrow the government because he wouldn't accept the results of the 2020 election. Yesterday, Tulsi Gabbard told us almost a year ago that they have overwhelming evidence about the 2020 election being stolen. We know everything about the 51 agents. All these people that were persecuted on January 6th for January 6th and the Fed insurrection are waiting for the evidence that they were right. I just do not understand what is happening. And every time that, you know, he was going to do his big speech the other night about his wins, well, to the people that suffered along with him the last 8 years, we don't see the wins because we're not seeing them that have anything to do with us. I'm glad that they want to make the economy great again. But you know what? All they're doing is waiting out Donald Trump. And then what's going to happen? Nothing's been changed about the elections. Okay. Because they're not putting any of this out. They're not pursuing this. And so, you know, what's going to happen in 2026 when Mark Elias and everyone still are pushing and Norm Eisen, again, the leader of all of this, is out there gloating about Susie Wiles' interview and how they won't be able to prosecute anyone now because of the things she said about retribution. And Donald Trump says she's the most powerful woman in the world. So, I mean, it's just a total shit show. But all I can say is, again, We the people in the United States have power where we live. And if people don't start getting involved and getting out of their comfort zone and running for office and taking over and starting to try to ban the Democrat Socialists of America from running anywhere in this country at all, just like the communists are banned from running in America, and we start as citizens and patriots taking over our city councils, our school boards, our land management, all the things that the DSA and the red-green access are trying to take over, if we don't fight locally where we are, DC is not fighting for us. They are fighting to put us on the global public infrastructure and to create wealth, which is great, but wealth with criminals running the country, which is apparently what's going to happen if we don't see some prosecutions and the 2020 election exposed. Well, you know what? Then America's the last stand for humanity, for freedom and liberty and truth and justice, and it will be over, and it will be because of this administration. I'm sorry. A year in and nobody has been held accountable that could in any way, shape or form protect our elections, get retribution. They're saying, no, it's not retribution. It is justice. And it is justice for the people, not for Donald Trump. I mean, at this point, for God's sakes, the country is completely captured. And they're doing nothing to stop it except for saying you're going to make more money and you're going to, well, where's freedom and liberty and justice and truth and transparency? Because until that 2020 election, if they have all this evidence, is dealt with, there is none.
Yeah. Well, Mel, I'm consistently.
I'm sorry, very upset this morning.
No, I mean, there's a lot of reasons to be upset this morning. Because Mel, I'm consistently asking questions behind the scenes to see what's going on, to get some type of insight. Because I didn't want to jump off this, like, negative black pill bridge and just tell everyone, you know, nothing's happening behind the scenes and we're all being lied to and we're all being dragged on right now. But the reality is every time I ask this question, I say, you know, there's no big arrests. And I know a lot of people are pissed off because every day I tweet out about how there's been no arrests from the Obama-Biden regime as of yet. And I always put the date every single day. And that gets a lot of people in D.C. angry because I'm told, oh, it's a process. We have to wait for the process. It's a process. But the reality of it is, and we saw it firsthand, there was no process when the Biden regime was in power. They quickly, within a matter of days, had hundreds of conservatives arrested for taking an unauthorized tour of the Capitol on January 6th. And they've tried to demonize these people, ruin their lives. And we saw it firsthand. And this is like, this was it for me when I watched these court filings, when the Proud Boys filed their lawsuit against the DOJ for violating their constitutional rights. And Pam Bondi's office, which I reached out for comment on, they didn't want to comment on it, of course. Pam Bondi's office wrote that they wanted this lawsuit, this $100 million lawsuit, dismissed because they believe that DOJ has sovereign immunity for any type of constitutional claim. And then you see them dropping information right now over with John Solomon, with Fox News, about all the egregious unconstitutional
things. Give me a break.
It's like... But then they tell you that they can't say anything because it's an ongoing investigation. So you're telling me the information that's being leaked from the top of the FBI to these outlets is probably what then it's not being used for current investigation. I mean, give me a break. I'm not going to sit here and gaslight our people and our audience into thinking that something's happening behind the scenes. But Mel, I'll give you the final minute to sign off on this one. I mean, it's just so frustrating. And then they go after you if you decide to talk against the Trump administration.
I know. And I'm done. I don't care anymore. And you know what? I'm so censored. I mean, look at my Twitter, Elon Musk. And I'm banned for life from YouTube, but everyone gets back to channel. What do I care? All I know is that I spent 4 years fighting my ass off, traveling this country with a lot of these people that are now in that administration. And I know that they have the evidence. And the one thing the American people should unite on is, frankly, from January 1st, 2020, Washington, D.C. was a crime scene. And you know what? Scott Bessent right now runs the, is the de facto head of the IRS. Well, how about a DOGE audit of all 435 of those worthless people and the other 100, every senator, every congressperson, everyone in the executive branch from January 1st, 2020 to date should have a full DOGE audit. And let's find out where all this money's gone and why we've been so screwed and who has allowed this, because I frankly think the entire D.C. is a crime scene and there is no salvaging it. You must save this country in your own backyard. That is the only way forward. Americans Anonymous, I lay it out. I did not think that it would come to this point that I myself would say enough. And you know what? None of these people have fought for me, and they know what I've done. And frankly, it's okay, but everyone out there has to be their own hero. Enough
Mel,
is enough.
Thank you so much for your time, girl. We appreciate you as always. Fired up on this beautiful Friday. Have a great rest of your day.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.